Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news, today.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Collectives.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Well, better late than never. Thank you for joining us on this live Friday, the 15th of May, 2026 transmission. We're here in the backup studios. Bigger Alex Jones Network studios are being built. We have a nice little news studio and podcasting studio and some other stuff already set up. And we're going into a week and a half with InfoWars being shut down by the Democrat Party Soros judge. And I thought we'd have more hiccups come into the new studio doing live interactive radio, TV, internet, satellite uplinks, all the rest of it. We really have had no hiccups until about 15 minutes before airtime. They were putting in a new surveillance camera system, hooking it into all the wireless systems, and somehow it like reset everything. And the crew, like the Flash, was just running around reprogramming everything, getting it all ready and back on. And but 30 seconds before we go live, they were able to get basic internet back up and then fire out the headlines and, you know, just get some of the promos on air that were on that computer, because everything else just went like bzzz. Extremely stressful for the crew. So we really appreciate the great job they're doing. And I can't wait till we're into the bigger studios that have, you know, more backup systems and things. But all of that takes money. And that's why when you go to the alexjonesstore.com and support us, you allow us to continue and expand and get more crew and more reporters and do all of that. That's why it's so essential to go to the alexjonesstore.com, because we are in a toe-to-toe fight with the deep state. Now, of course, I say this at the start of every show because it's true. Every historian, futurist, political scientist will tell you it's a quickening. The world just gets more intense, more people, more technology. The world's smaller and smaller. Things move faster and faster. And so every news day, even if somebody thinks it's boring, they're not paying attention, it's more intense. Today is a white-hot day of news. I mean, each one of these stories, I could spend 4 hours on it alone. Cuba has basically collapsed. Their leadership is in talks with the CIA right now to basically make a deal like the Venezuelan government did. They're saying they're now going to indict Raul Castro, because Cuba, you know, has been caught blowing up passenger planes and doing terrorism in the past. So that's all coming out. The U.S. and Cuba intensify negotiations as the island's collapse deepens. Protesters break out of Havana during Cuba's worst blackouts in decades, as minister says, we have no fuel. That's because the U.S. blockade of Venezuelan oil supplies 90% of their oil. U.S. plans to indict Cuba's Raul Castro, DOJ official says. CIA Director Ratcliffe meets with Cuban officials in Havana. So say what you want about Trump. He is definitely on the move. In our hemisphere, he has some precedent to do that. I've said it's dangerous. It's a risk. The CIA could set him up like they did Kennedy with the Bay of Pigs. But overall, I'd like to see these dictatorships fall in Cuba, Venezuela. The problem is, in almost every case, when the U.S. government does overthrow somebody, like Assad 2 years ago, they put in the leader of Al-Qaeda, even worse, way worse. And now it's the same thing in Venezuela. The vice president, who many say is even worse than Maduro, actually the brains of the operation, hardcore commie, she's in charge, made a deal with the U.S., and now where's the elections? Where's the talk of elections? And that's exactly why I said I academically would love to see the communist dictatorships of Cuba and Venezuela go, and I think Trump constitutionally has the authority because of gunboat diplomacy and because of the Monroe Doctrine and because of the Barbary Pirate War precedent set by Thomas Jefferson, but I said it stops there because I think they'll put somebody in even worse. And lo and behold, Trump's CIA and the rest of them have done that. Now maybe they have elections someday, but right now they're like, oh, don't ever worry about those right now. Is that really why we do regime change, to then put the vice president commie in charge? And it's the same thing. Israel doesn't want a strong, vibrant Persia. They've already said they have a policy. They want to break Persia in three parts and balkanize them, just like Israel founded Hamas and funded it and then stood down on October 7th. And I'm not just singling Israel out. It's important to not just single out Israel pulling false flags and dirty tricks, because Western governments do it as a rule. And other governments have been caught doing it as well. But people need to stop being so naive. So we have that with all the developments and angles and pieces to it. Then we have Trump in China, asked by reporters in front of Xi Jinping, will you back Taiwan if there's a war with China? And Trump said he refuses to say whether or not he will withdraw support, which Xi Jinping is saying that's the red line. We want you to abandon Taiwan. We'll give you whatever we want, as if we can believe that. So Trump is definitely being very hard-line. But then he made a statement here, and again, I just have to call balls and strikes. Trump says he wants Iran's uranium mostly for public relations. Mostly for public relations. We'll be getting to that. And that dovetails with all of his bizarre statements a month ago. I don't care about Medicare, Medicaid, child care. We're a war economy now. And then he said, as you know, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, I don't think anything about the average American's financial problems. We're at war. And then he made a new statement on Hannity last night. Well, you'll have to see it for yourself. I mean, this stuff speaks for itself. That, I've got to worry about a bunch of other countries, you know, not just us. So he makes this America last statement. He also said higher gas prices is the price America must pay for Iran on having a nuclear weapon. But then he says that's all just public relations. I mean, who? Obviously, nobody's telling Trump what to do. Let's be clear. He always was trying to be in charge of the first administration, made a lot of good decisions. I called balls and strikes, didn't lie about stuff, was very truthful and accurate overall compared to any other politician I've seen in my lifetime. But this new Trump, I wouldn't even say he lies. He, like, changes his story five times a day. I wouldn't even call that lying. It's just he's all over the map, and it's very disconcerting. You can say, oh, well, that's a tactic. No, it's not. I know the people involved in the White House. They don't know what's going on. Trump doesn't remember things the next day. I think it's 79. The pressure's finally just gotten to him. But this is crazy town. Then you've got the collapse of the Daily Wire, which had already been a husk of itself. Their average video gets like 5,000 views. Used to get 5 million views, 10 million views. And it's because of Ben Shapiro openly being an Israeli firster. And that's indicative of how unpopular it is to let Israel run our foreign policy. But CNN does a fake poll for Trump. Oh, 100% of your MAGA constituents support the Iran war. When we know in all the other spectrum polls, it's almost 70% don't like it. 80%+ don't want boots on the ground. That's conservatives. It's even higher with Democrats. And Trump just tries to sit there and act like, see, it's totally popular. Everybody loves it. No, they don't. And it's killed you in the polls, and we're going to lose the damn midterms. And this is a disaster. And so that's the facts. And I will continue to state the facts one way or another. That's all I know how to do. I don't know how to sit there and go, well, I don't like these set of facts, so let me just make something up that people want to hear or I want to believe. That's just not how this universe and how this world works. But it is frustrating because I really want Trump to succeed. My Lord, I mean, look at the Democrats and the leftists and Keir Starmer and Macron and MERS and Xi Jinping. I mean, the world is just a collection of nasty, corrupt kleptocracies. Yeah, more inflation rattles investors. Oil price up, 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 up. We're going to be getting to all those numbers and talking about it today. But again, the Daily Wire a year ago laid off half their employees. Then last week they laid off another half. They're to a quarter of their employees. But that's just for face saving. The amount of viewers and listeners their shows have now, you can look it up, I have, is flatlined. Flatlined. But who cares about the Daily Wire and the billions that was pumped into it literally by Israel, like Salem Media? We all know that, okay, it's just a foreign propaganda arm. The issue is that everyone tuned out, and it did used to be a very successful, powerful network, and promoting populism and freedom and protecting our children and, you know, the borders and fiscal responsibility. It had a big vein of pro-Israel Zionism in it, but people tolerated that as long as, you know, it was promoting American freedom. Now it's turned into what Trump says his brain is, Mark Levin, basically. Trump points at Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and says, that's my views, follow that. So Trump goes with something that's wildly unpopular and thinks, well, you know, that's just the way it is. Well, at the end of the day, this will derail the recovery. It will make us lose the midterms. It will kill the economy. And here we are, just like I said we would be. Wasn't hard to make that prediction. So I'm not going to belabor that and repeat that anymore. It's just, it is horrific what we're facing. And, you know, Nick Fuentes, who, by the way, is on next Tuesday. I had to cancel the Wednesday interview because I thought I'd be here late. It was a dental appointment, and then that got canceled because of some stuff that was going on. And then I did it yesterday, and then he couldn't come on yesterday, so he's on Tuesday. But, you know, he's doing a big victory lap about the death of the Daily Wire. And at one level, he's right, but it's a lot bigger than the whole political world being those that are pro-Israel and those that are anti-Israel. Yes, Israel has waded in during this power struggle in America to try to get full control, and there is an attempted hostile takeover by Israel of the federal government right now. I mean, that's they brag about it. Netanyahu brags about it. I mean, it's not hidden. It's outrageous. It's insane. Before China had the most spies, the most infiltration, they were a little bit better at hiding it, and China's still a big threat. But, I mean, for national sovereignty and control of our country, Israel is now the biggest gorilla in the room. It's now the biggest elephant. It's now the main issue, which is just wild. And now that supercharges everything into everything Israel, Israel, Israel. And then all these billionaire Jewish people, about half the billionaires in the world are Jewish. They're all circling the wagons and think everybody's coming to get them and are getting ready for basically Armageddon if need be and the Samson option. And then when they do that and try to censor and pounce on people, that makes it become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And now this clash of civilizations is coming into the fray. China's off the radar. Expansion of Islam's off the radar. The left and their alliance with Islam's off the radar. And I'm saying it's all got to be on the radar. You got to be aware of all of this stuff. If you're out on the African savannah at night and there's lions and there's hyenas and there's cobras and there's hippopotamus and there's water buffalo. People are like, hippopotamus, water buffalo, that's not dangerous. Did you know that hippopotamus kill the most people in Africa? Did you know next water buffalo and then down the line? It's not lions, folks, not elephants. See, so when I give an analogy, I know what I'm talking about. The point, I'm going off on a jag about hippopotamus. Vicious. They're in the water during the day, halfway sleeping. At night, they learn eating grass. And they got 9-inch canine teeth or tusk. Now, when you see them at the zoo, they've chopped them off. So they're a little cute. That's because they got giant, powerful. They just grab a 20-foot saltwater alligator and just shake it to death. Or crocodile. Just, yeah. But see, so my brain works. Sorry. I'm factoiding off. I'm sorry. If you're out in the African savanna in the summertime, you got to watch out for cobras. And you got to watch out for lions. And you got to watch out for hippopotamus. And then water buffalo. Kill you dead in a hammer. Vicious. And so I'm just talking about all the different power structures, all the different power groups, all the different things that are going on. Russia with all its nuclear weapons that we're It's equivalent to like a hippopotamus, and we're hitting it in the head with a baseball bat. It's just getting madder and madder and madder. Usually the Russians, you know, allegory is a bear, but we're at the African savannah right now, so it's hippopotamus. So, I should have mentioned Gregory Bovino, the former head of the Border Patrol, is joining us next hour. This is going to be a really powerful interview coming up. And we're going to get into his call for mass deportations. I saw the headline, 100 million. I don't think there's 100 million people to deport. I think it's about 55 million illegal aliens in the country. Maybe he knows something I don't know, but he certainly got targeted for following Trump's orders and kind of got scapegoated. We're not going to throw Trump under the bus, but I think Gregory Bovino is a very well-spoken, got a lot of courage, did a great job and did what he was told to do. That was constitutional duty. So we'll get his take on a whole host of big issues that we're going to be breaking down with him. And then in the third and fourth hour, we'll continue with all these news. Also, you have the massive deep state targeting of Thomas Massie. And you have this woman who 2 years ago filed the same thing that got thrown out of court. And she's just alleging that he dated her. And it looks like that's probably not true. But whether it's true or not, you have cannibalism, Satanism, mass murder, devil worship, just Bill Gates, you know, emails with Epstein talking about we got to kill all the poor people, black magic rituals, human cloning, and we're supposed to just, oh, that's no big deal. Oh, but look, maybe he dated a woman after his wife died. And then it turns out it's on record. The woman's made a bunch of other false allegations on others that have been disproven. But regardless, they bring this out a few days before the election next Tuesday. And they've spent tens of millions of foreign Israeli money and domestic money to try to knock him out. And it's just so transparent and ridiculous. So I got a bunch of clips and developments and news on that front. And then every day without even looking, I mean, I'm just going around the internet and I just see everywhere at least 20 times a day, new articles where judges release people that kidnap and murder and kill kids or shoot up crowds or push old people onto in front of subways. And you have to know, and this is the same thing in Europe, these leftist judges know they're destroying society. They know they're undermining things. They know they're creating Clark Piven for destabilization. Somebody's like, these idiot judges, don't they know? This guy had been in jail 40 times for assault and armed robbery and rape. Why'd you let him go? Because it's a weapon. They're turning Frankenstein loose. Look at this one. The enemy is in the courtroom. A 19-year-old thug shoves an 84-year-old grandpa from behind, cracks his skull on the pavement, kills him, then whines, bad day, and walks free on probation. I've got at least 7 or 8 articles today with video of this type of crap. The judges are using these killers like you go to the hardware store and buy a handgun and you go shoot somebody. These are deadly weapons that they are purposely turning loose on people. And I know most of you understand that better than I. I'm just simply saying, I still keep seeing the headlines that, oh, these judges are idiots. These prosecutors are idiots. No, they're not. We have one of the worst Soros DAs in America, Jose Garza, here in Austin. If you're black or Hispanic and shoot somebody and kill somebody, no bail, he lets you go. But if you're white, they throw the book at you so hard it makes your head spin. And what is the point of that? It's to telegraph to criminals that if you're killing white people, you're above the law. But these judges and DAs, they let Hispanics loose to kill other Hispanics, blacks to kill their blacks. I mean, it's just like carnage. So as much as I get mad at Trump and the rest of it, he's got such a better border patrol. And we have seen a big crackdown on crime, and crime has gone down. So that's why this is so paradoxical that I think Trump and federal law enforcement, when it's come to actual enforcement on illegal aliens, criminals and stuff, have done a lot better job. But it's pretty easy to do a better job when you're not default standing down under orders. But when you saw Border Patrol and ICE, that was a tough job. going in to arrest hardened criminals and rapists and people and being viciously attacked. So we'll talk about that with Gregory Bovino coming up. I really appreciate him coming on the broadcast. Let me do this right now, because if I don't, we're not going to be here. I need funds to even operate this network and to finish the new studios. Plus, the information is vital, as you know. The bad guys want us off air. They tried to move heaven and earth to get us off air. I can't do this without you. So I'm asking folks that have gotten the products and love them to remind you to get them again at thealexandthestore.com. And I want to talk to the vast majority of you that love the show, share articles, videos, great, but you never go to thealexandthestore.com. You're missing now not only on getting great products, but on standing up for yourself and your family in the future. It takes money, time, and energy to fight a war, and we are financing our war of truth, our information war against the globalists, and having great effects because of your support. So I want to salute those that have supported us, and I want to encourage those that have been on the fence and never bought any product. You're really missing out. Our ultramethylene blue, our bovine colostrum, our RSC moss, our Shilajit, not sexy names, but sexy effects, folks. All the products I sell you really, really work. That's why you just need to try them and see what it does. I'd start with methylene blue. 99% of people, more than that, I think it was like 500 people and three people didn't feel it. It's all on medical record what it does, skipping the oxidation process in the cells. Does it act as a stimulant, but feels like a stimulant, no letdown. Then we have methylene red in the tincture and the capsules. The capsules are even more concentrated. It goes with methylene blue in an excellent way, but on its own is incredible. Methylene red capsules. And so these are brand new in the store right now, up to 50% off. Methylene red capsules are designed to support clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clear, and stay locked in throughout the day without relying on fake stimulant garbage. No crash, no junk, no watered down formula, just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. And if you're a subscriber, you can get up to 50% off. You can cancel any time, but it locks in to 50% off going forward. Cancel one click for free anytime. It's about 25% off for everybody else, introductory price. And then we got two big buy one, get one free specials that are only running until Monday. Buy one T3 iodine, the very best, purest iodine out there that is atomic and essential in the body. All the other iodines out there are bound to an element. You don't get full absorption. One of the biggest problems, you just look this up for yourself, over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. So many of the neurological disorders and diseases are caused by iodine deficiency. Even the so-called daily allowance of iodine is way lower. Nutritionists I've talked to and scientists say. So you need this. And it's the best iodine you're going to get. You can buy one bottle of T3 iodine and get another bottle absolutely free. You can also get Ultimate Life Force, the Spike Protein Detox, Cardiovascular Booster, great for children, women, men, old folks, you name it. It is incredible. The strongest, best detoxification formula out there, Ultimate Life Force. Buy a bottle of it. It's a big old bottle. I got one right here. And get one absolutely free. Or you can mix and match. Get one bottle of Ultimate Life Force and then get a bottle free right there when you're clicking it for the iodine. So get one bottle of both. Or get two bottles of one, buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support, because I can't do this without you, and I'll just be quite frank with you. We're bringing in right now enough money to pay the bills and for the legal, with the globalists always trying to shut us down. And that's not good to be on, 10th of a tank. I need to be able to hire more crew, more reporters, more hosts, and scale up and finish the new studios, and we're going to do it. But it's up to you. You are the game changer here. I need you to take action right now at thealexandthestore.com. These are incredible products. You're really missing out. And again, regardless, take the live feed at Real Alex Jones on X and at the network at AJN Live on X and on Rumble. Here's the new address. Almost 700,000 followers in just 9-10 days. I want to thank everybody for doing that. Love Rumble. We're really going to partner with them. So many big announcements, new shows, more coming. Just get ready. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. There were some older pages that were just, that's all. And we set us up with a few we're testing out. But this is the new official one. Rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. Alex Jones Show Live. There it is. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. All right, folks. Hour number two, straight ahead with the former head of the Border Patrol. Tell us what's really going on, Greg Bovino, and then so much more straight ahead. Please stay with us. As I said, hour number two, only 2 minutes away. Share the live feeds now, Paul Revere. Fight back against the tyrants. Well, I feel like I know him because I've watched him for years before he was even the head of the Border Patrol. Greg Bovino, Greg K. Bovino on X. Some stations don't carry this first 5 minutes, but it's huge, obviously, on Rumble and X and everywhere else. So I wanted to go right to him so he doesn't have to sit there on hold while I babble about other news for 5 minutes. But I want to cover the waterfront with him and talk about what's really happening with Border Patrol and ICE. We hear these reports that now they're kind of dialing back. Is that really true? What is the real state of this country? What does he recommend should be done? And look, he's not an infighter, and neither am I, because I think Trump's, you know, overall had a great border policy and had a lot of courage for what he's done. But it did seem like all of a sudden, you know, they were telling the Border Patrol, be aggressive, do your job. And then the left rose up and attacked everybody. And instead of throwing them in jail when they commit crimes, you know, Greg got sidelined. And then we've definitely seen the posture of the Border Patrol and ICE back down to a great extent. And I understand there's a lot going on. So just up front, I'll just cut right to your chase, then I'll get your analysis of what should be done and where you see this going. It's great to have you. Thank you so much, Greg.
Pew's got it at the 15 million. You got that MIT study from a few years back. They had it 20 million. Bear Stearns back in 2008, 25 million. So those were pretty conservative estimates even then. My number's 100 million. You've probably heard that. And I stand by the 100 million number. What we saw anywhere we went in the United States, any geographic region, any city, anywhere we went, was absolutely astounding to all of us. We didn't expect to see that much illegal alienage throughout the United States, both in rural areas and in cities.
Well, you just nailed it right there, and I should have brought that up front. I mean, that's the main issue here is they always underestimate, but if it was 40 million under Obama or more, and then some got in under Trump, and then there were a lot here even before that, and then what's the number? I mean, I've heard as high as 26 million under Biden.
Yes, the MIT study had it between 20 and 25 million there under Biden, and we all know what happened when Biden came in office. Is an unmitigated border disaster. It was a catastrophe, Alex, an utter catastrophe. You would have to see it to believe it. We actually had law enforcement officers come down from northern parts of California just to see if the border was as bad as everyone was telling them. And they came away even more amazed. Oh. It was beyond their imagination what was happening on that border. Camps of thousands.
Stay right there, sir. Stay right there. Back in 60 seconds. I want you to recap and go all through this. We've got a lot of time. Be very gracious. People need this special report. We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. Become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, canceling time. Stand with us. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, Greg Bovino is the very best guest you can get, hands down, who has been on the ground, who has spent decades, point blank, witnessing what's happened with the de-evolution of our border and the purposeful replacement migration destruction of our sovereignty. The same NGOs, the same globalists that have gutted Europe and flooded it are the same NGOs doing it here. And he was obviously the head of the Border Patrol and all the valiant actions you saw on the interior and on the border itself. And so most stations just joined us now. So I'm going to ask him to recap what he was saying and give us a briefing here. I'll try to give him the floor to pillar to post, give this key information to the American people. I want to thank him for his tireless work, as I see him all over the place, continuing to expose what's going on. Gregory K. Bovino on X. Be sure and follow him at Gregory K. Bovino on X for the best information you're going to find out there. Period. Retired Border Patrol commander at large, spent 30 years doing the job politicians only talk about. So, sir, thank you so much for being here. You're a hero, and you've got the floor. Please give us a briefing.
Okay. Well, Alex, again, thanks for having me. And it boils down, Alex, as we were talking a few minutes ago, as to what is happening on the border. And juxtapose that with what's not happening in the interior. Our interior enforcement has lapsed here over the past few months. And what that's done is it's caused those border numbers to start creeping up. A year ago, border numbers, maybe 90, 100 apprehensions a day, Border Patrol wide. That's because we were in the interior taking it to the bad guys, providing consequences to those illegal aliens, those bad people and bad things all across the United States. Well, we're not doing that so much now. So what are those border numbers looking like now? Just a couple of days ago, approximately 470 border crossers. And then over the past 2 weeks, about 560 gotaways. That's vastly different than a year ago. That type of a trend concerns me, and it concerns a lot of Americans, and it definitely concerns those border security professionals who know what is up there on the border. So, again, what happens on the border has never stayed on the border, Alex. What happens on the border affects everything in America, every aspect of America, every corner, every faction of America, everything to do with America, including our culture. What happens on the border affects that, because now if there's no interior enforcement, what consequence is there for, say, an illegal alien, a run-of-the-mill illegal alien to cross the border? They make it past the Border Patrol. Well, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm not worst of the worst, so I'm okay. And that begets even more illegal immigration into the country. So that's very concerning to border security professionals. In a nutshell, the border is becoming more active, and it's a direct causation to not having that Border Patrol uniformed interior enforcement in a very aggressive, consequences-oriented manner.
Now, you said something earlier before we went into the segment that some stations didn't get to hear. You talked about how you've brought journalists, you brought other people down to the border, and people just couldn't believe it. I have to tell you, and I think of myself as pretty tough, but I and my crew, the dozens of times we've been in Texas, Arizona, other areas, is so depressing that I've never, in my life, gone back to the motel and basically had a nervous breakdown. I mean, watching babies being smuggled, watching them get away with it, watching them kidnap kids, watching the woman go, it's my baby, hand it over with no paperwork, and then she's back an hour later with another baby, being followed by the drug cartels with their Grim Reaper tattoos threatening us, and then you can't kick their ass, you can't fight back. The Border Patrol, had its hands tied before. I don't know how you guys, when Biden was there, could sit there, because, well, I would be sitting there. I mean, we have famous footage of this in down the Texas border repeatedly, where we had an undercover cop from the local jurisdiction. She was in there, and she comes out all freaked out. She goes, oh, my God, he's here to pick up three little girls and take them to Pennsylvania. And then this evil-looking white dude, look like classic pedo, walks out and he goes, I'm here to show them the way of the Lord. I'm going to make them little girls work. And he said, I don't want anybody over the age of 10. Why are you trying to stop me getting my girls? And I know you guys have seen things a million times worse. I mean, dead babies, throwing babies over walls. Try to describe to people, like Morpheus says to Neo, I can't tell you about the Matrix. You just got to take the red pill and see it. But when you talk about what it's really like, please tell us as an eyewitness for decades of this.
Sure. Well, Alex, what you saw there in those few days that you were on the border, those Border Patrol agents saw exactly what you're talking about for 4 years straight. 4 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for a year straight, 4 years worth of that. Everything you've just described and much more, some heinous things every day coming across that border. You talk about the trafficking of children. That's the unknowns here that just a very few people report on. You reported on it. Fox News reported on it some, and then some of the others. But really, that's a hidden story. That's something that the American public doesn't realize the depth, breadth, and scope of that heinous tragedy that occurred on the border. You know, many of our border sectors were asking for body bags because they ran out of body bags because they were stuffing those body bags by the hundreds. Now, you know, during the past Trump administration, Trump 45, one person perhaps passed away in custody due to the flu. My gracious, the world ended. Well, how come we don't hear anything about the hundreds of individuals that died trying to cross the Rio Grande and drown in the Rio Grande by the hundreds, including those children? And then on top of that, that trafficking of children by some characters. You mentioned the fellow that said that those girls were his. We saw that every day. You know, the non-surgical suture story is a good one, I think, to put it in perspective. We had a three-year-old that was drugged that came across the border there in El Centro sector. He was drugged. The agents had to utilize a sternum rub to wake the child up. They found out that he had non-surgical sutures in his abdomen. Alex, what the hell was going on there? The doctor didn't know. He removed the sutures, and to add injury to insult, the smuggler that was smuggling that kid said, well, you know, I don't know where I'm taking him, but I'm going to make a phone call, and we're going to figure that out later. Nobody knew where that kid was going. That happened thousands of times every year for 4 years.
And let's not forget,
that's why we've got 350,000 missing kids.
Well, sorry to interrupt. Amnesty International estimated 82% of all the girls and women smuggled by the coyotes across the border are sexually assaulted, raped.
We saw that before, you know, before this migrant catastrophe that happened, and we knew it happened, especially on the south side. But during this catastrophe, when the cartels became involved, when some really tough criminals became involved in the smuggling process, that absolutely, that 82% figure you mentioned, most definitely things like that occurred. The murders, the rapes, all kinds of things, because you had a mass of humanity from all over the world. This wasn't just from Mexico or Central America, from all over the world. And you've got the child rapists, the child molesters, the rapists that are going to capitalize on that mass of humanity. They can stay incognito within that mass of humanity and hurt a lot of people. And guess what? They did hurt a lot of people. You bet.
Well, I interrupted you. You were trying to get into numbers, and something that Trump and you did A-plus, you know, job on was, for people that don't know, I know you're an expert on this, you can elaborate on it and expand, obviously, on my knowledge, but they would ban the Border Patrol from basically even finding out who people were. They would have a letter tagged to them for a phone number. You had to hand it over to HHS, who was given control. And then they would just hand them over, in many cases, to drug dealers, human traffickers, you name it. And then they would basically disappear them. There's been big federal and private investigations into all of that. And then Mayorkas overseeing it all. I mean, this was clearly premeditated to disappear the children, just like Biden had the funds but wouldn't let you spend it to do the quick DNA testing to see, obviously, this person's black from Africa and they got a Guatemalan three-year-old. This is not their dad or their uncle, or, you know, vice versa. But they wouldn't let the DNA testing happening, clearly premeditatedly trying to work with the traffickers, with the pedophiles, with the demons to facilitate this. Is that an accurate statement?
It is accurate. They wanted as many people coming across that border as they could possibly get to come across the border. And if that meant harming children, to have those millions of illegal aliens coming across the border, then they apparently had no problem with that, Alex. It was amazing. You're right. We would see the same people with different family groups coming across the border, and DNA testing, that would have helped. A simple investigation by Border Patrol agents would have helped, except once they claim this asylum, this phony asylum, or this phony temporary protected status, we couldn't question them. Because, you know, once that asylum process kicks in, that apparently somehow is more important than criminality or bad people and bad things coming into our country. And that's what the Border Patrol agents were up against, is direct orders, no questioning, no investigations, no ability to give a consequence to smugglers. Absolutely amazing. And you mentioned Alejandro Mayorkas, definitely an architect, one of the architects under the Biden administration of that catastrophe.
Are we ever going to see, I know there's been some indictments of people in DHS and in some of the NGOs and some of the law firms that basically run the smuggling. And because I see it here and there in the news, so people say nothing's happening. I've seen quite a bit of action, but nothing really high level. I remember you and Homan and you know others obviously hearing that, hey, that was coming. I haven't seen a lot of that talk the last few months. Do we know where that's going?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if that's fallen victim to that softer approach or not, but it doesn't seem like a lot of that is moving forward at this point. I've not heard a lot about that moving forward. You know, we're still finding the children that we just talked about. As a matter of fact, that Camarillo pot farm where we found well over a dozen kids working on a pot farm. Where's that investigation? Is somebody getting ready to maybe serve life in prison for the forced labor of children on a pot farm? I haven't heard anything about that. We need to get to it and start prosecuting people nationwide, including some of those high-level individuals that have the blood of Americans on their hands. When I say blood of Americans, that mass of criminals that came across the border, they did and still are hurting, maiming, and killing American citizens. Absolutely, somebody should be held accountable for that, because it was wrong then, and it continues to be wrong now.
So I see it in the news, but I never know that's accurate. But from your extensive contacts in ICE, in the Border Patrol, I mean, there's some softening, because they've said that, but that's more of just a statement. What is the softening? Is that a pause? What's happening there, as best you know? Because I'm seeing a lot of criticism of the Trump administration right now by conservatives saying, hey, we want to see more deportations. And then we move to the big issue. Greg Bovino said he wanted to deport 100 million people under Trump. People say, well, there's not that many illegals. But from all the different studies out there, I think you're right. It's somewhere up there around there. And that really shows you how big the problem is.
It does. And I'll be the first to say President Trump's the very best that we've ever had as far as immigration, the best I've ever worked for. And I've worked for, you know, many over that 30-year career. He's the very best. He's the one that can and will get it done. I think that there's some perhaps between him and, you know, all the way down through DHS and Customs and Border Protection that perhaps don't hold such an aggressive stance. And I think that's probably where the problem is. Border Patrol has been pulled out of the interior of the United States. And Alex, it's important to make this distinction. The U.S. Border Patrol is the uniformed section of Customs and Border Protection, along with our partners there at the ports of entry. They wear the blue uniforms, their Office of Field Operations, and then Office of Air and Marine. Us three together, we're the uniformed part of Customs and Border Protection. We're sort of like your street cops. Take NYPD, street cops go after street crime, right? Then you've got your detectives. They do long-term investigations. Same thing with immigration. You've got your street cops, your uniformed folks that go in and just give it to the illegal aliens any place, anytime. All that total spectrum immigration enforcement. And then you've got your detectives that take a look at the long-term investigations, the targeting, the worst of the worst. So when you pull your uniformed cops, your Border Patrol agents out of the interior, that sends a distinct message to the bad guys and a very distinct message to the illegal aliens that, hey, that expeditionary force, that Marine Corps federal law enforcement is not in the interior anymore. Hey, it's a free-for-all. We don't really have to worry because, hey, I'm not worst of the worst. And targeting, it's a great tactic, not a great strategy, a great tactic within an overall strategy, but that won't solve the problem. What solves the problem to get those 100 million, and yep, I say there's 100 million illegal aliens, to get those 100 million out, you have to have that uniform presence there in the interior in mass, just as we've done it over the past 100 years.
And you started to go through the numbers and how you proved that, and I've researched it. I think that number is overall accurate. You have major university studies, government studies, but you got cut off by that first break. Please walk through this. Take your time. How you get to the 100 million number?
Sure. I joined the Border Patrol 30 years ago, and the number then stood at between 12 and 15 million 30 years ago. So the numbers always interested us in the Border Patrol. It's very interesting because what we saw coming across the border seemed like it should have added to that 12 to 15 million, but that stayed the same, you know, 10 years later. And I thought, well, wait a second, you know what? That's not, that doesn't seem too accurate. Well, back in approximately 2012, I wrote a paper on the destruction of natural resources by illegal aliens because a California game warden came up and said, hey, we've got illegal aliens poaching the endangered desert bighorn sheep. When he said that, I thought, you know, if the problem is this big, that illegal aliens are destroying our nation's natural resources, I wonder if it's happening nationwide. And it was. A research paper found that it was. So then I thought, you know what, we need a more accurate number of illegal aliens. So I started doing research then back in 2012. That's when I uncovered the Bear Stearns report of approximately 25 million. Bear Stearns was, as you know, a financial institution, not a political institution. And their study was one of the very first that put that at 25 million. Still thought that was too low. And as the years progressed, with more people coming across the border, that number never rose. And then we get to the Biden catastrophe, where we know millions and millions came across the border, the number didn't rise. So I took those past studies, I took my expertise in border security, and then I took also what I saw on the ground in those cities. Let's take the traffic report in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is a great way to sort of encapsulate these numbers. I say there's 100 million. The traffic patterns in Charlotte virtually dried up. In other words, your commute into Charlotte was a breeze. For that to happen, you need to take 30 to 40% of those commuters. There's 153,000 commuters approximately in Charlotte. You need to take 30 to 40% out to make that commute a breeze. 30 to 40% were taken out, just like it was in Los Angeles, Chicago, and every other city that we were in.
And then we saw the public schools. Sorry to interrupt you. So remember, we also saw public schools around the country, Mitch, that upwards of half the students were gone.
Exactly. And what does that correlate to? You know, people are saying, oh, there's no way that one in four people are illegal aliens in the United States. Well, guess what? If 40% of your commuters are drying up, and then, like you say, 30 to 50% of your students are drying up, what does that tell you? That correlates pretty darn nicely and pretty closely with the 100 million. It also correlates with the millions that have came across every single year for 30 years, especially the 4 years under Biden. And
well, this is anecdotal, yeah, but I have a lot of friends and family in Austin, that live in apartments and things. And I'll go to see them, and it's like half the apartments, these are nice apartments, are empty now. And they go, and I talk to the manager, no, the illegal aliens are all gone. And now suddenly housing prices are dropping. Austin's one of the biggest boom towns, obviously, in the U.S. for 20 years. There were apartment shortages until a year and a half ago. Now the prices are lowering. They're open everywhere. I mean, that you can see it with your own eyeballs.
You can see it. And, you know, affordability, there's another great way to kind of take a look at the numbers. A 5% decrease in illegal aliens will generally result in a 12% decrease in rents, in the price of a rental. So
housing prices are dropping for the first time in decades.
Trump did it for the first time in decades. President Trump did that for the first time in decades. We saw the same thing in New Orleans. We hit New Orleans very hard. Same thing happened. They left those apartments for rent signs. All of a sudden, the rent becomes lower. It becomes easier for American citizens, the people that we work for. The most important part of this whole equation is the American citizen, the taxpayer. They're starting to be able to afford in some of those cities to be able to rent a place. But if we don't go back to the interior, all is lost there as far as affordability. And it's not just rent, it's everything.
And I know you don't like to be a troublemaker, but we're not being troublemakers. We want to get this fixed and let the listeners know how to lobby Congress and the White House. Who came up with the plan to stop interior enforcement? Because at first they didn't really announce that, and they kind of snuck it out like a fart in church. And I found that hard to believe. I thought, well, this must just be a pause to kind of kill the political momentum of the Democrats, which I thought was blowing up their face. But I just don't see how enforcing the law when it's so popular is a bad idea. And again, I'm not trying to single people out, but do we know who came up with the plan to stop interior enforcement?
You know, I don't think the plan, I don't think they came up with it at that point in Minnesota. And I can base that on what I saw over the past year. I was there for a year in those cities. There was always a push-pull on the best way to conduct that interior enforcement. You had the targeters and the worst of the worst. And then you had folks like me that were hardline mass deportation folks. And there was always a loggerhead there with that. You know, everybody thinks they sort of have the best way to do it. I of course did have the best way to do it. But I think that the folks that want to target and one of the worst and want worst of the worst, the folks that want to remain within the status quo, they won out. And, you know, I tell you, President Trump's the very best, but he still has to be advised by a team. And I've said this a million times. He's got his team. They're going to advise him. And you know what? Like any good leader, he's going to take advice from his team. And, we had some very, very good hardline immigration folks, Christy Noem, Corey Lewandowski, a lot of good folks, Mike Banks, you know, he just left yesterday. And if you see, all the mass deportation folks are gone and all the targeters, even some of those Biden era burrers are even coming back. And it's more of it's that soft approach. So, I think you could figure, you know, what part of that team is for that targeting and that softer approach.
You hear, all right, Greg, you hear stay there.
Every day on TV.
Stay there and do at least 50 more minutes with us. I really appreciate you. And I'm just impressed. I see you doing all these interviews tirelessly. You don't have a book you're selling. I wish you did. We need to have information from you. You're not. You're just out there selflessly all over the place, raising the alarm as a modern Paul Revere. Gregory K. Bovino on X. Follow him there. And he's being very polite about what he's saying, but basically we're getting a stand down in the interior here, and we need to raise the alarm. Well, I've been trying for about a year to get Gregory Bovino on, the former head of the Border Patrol. I know he's a little bit busy running around the country constantly like the Energizer Bunny. And we understand Trump's not perfect. Project Veritas just released a video on Monday. High-level officials saying, Trump says one thing, we do whatever we want, he's the problem. Well, that happened in the first administration. So when I think Trump makes a mistake or does something on policy I don't like, and it's clearly him, I'll say I disagree with that. It's not because I hate Trump. I want him to succeed, and I'm not in a cult. I'm going to give you my view on things, and you've got your view. We're not the Democrats. We're all, you know, just thinking one cult. But clearly with the border, he's had the right policies. He's had the courage. He put the right people in. That's why we're spotlighting this right now, because I believe if we beat the drum on this, and get the information out there, because Trump listens to people that call him up or get him on the phone or Roger Stone can tell him something, but he really, when he hears it from the grassroots and it bubbles up, or when a reporter asks him a question he didn't know about it, he'll go do something about it. You can get results with Trump. That's why I'll, you know, speak out when I think he's doing something wrong, and a lot of times he course corrects. But you have Gregory Bovino up here very politely, very nicely saying, magically, you know, 6 months ago, oh, we're dialing back, but they don't declare a surrender in the interior. And you see all the countless caravans that smashed in under Obama and under Biden, and then the National Guard trying to hold them back, and they break through. Once they break through, folks, they're here. And we all know about it. Our own reporter was killed by these, you know, illegal alien gangbangers last year. So that's the reality of this. That's how this touches home. Gunned down just about a mile from where I sit. And our houses get broken into and everything. We experience it. We know it. But if you hadn't been at the border and hadn't seen it for yourself, it's worse than you can imagine, just as Greg said earlier. So I want you to take your time here, sir. And you've been so gracious with your time to expand on what you were just talking about. And because I knew they were getting rid of the hardcore folks who are just addressing the problem like it is, a total invasion, total crisis, conservatively 50 million, probably 100 million. I mean, if you go back 30 years, of course, That's why you guys were busting people with huge criminal records that have been here 30, 40 years. We're like, they've been here 40 years, and they murdered their wife in El Salvador or whatever. It's just wild when you actually track back the background there. But looking at this, I mean, I knew they were getting rid of what they call the hardliners or the people that want mass deportation, which is the law, which is the only solution to this crisis, is go ahead and just have the confrontation. It's the right thing to do. The public supports it in the polls. The left, you know, energized to assault you guys and call you terrorists. I just say, let's get it on. That's the hill to die on or the country won't exist. But then I didn't know. I mean, I knew some of this, but you just dropped a bombshell that they're bringing in former Biden administration or leftist people into this. Because I know under Biden and under Obama, because I went out and saw it myself, they had the famous European NGOs and others, because you could look up their names, bossing the Border Patrol around, bossing the National Guard around. We would get it on tape at those centers. And so I thought they were gone. Are you saying they're being brought back in?
I am saying that. Yes, they are. You know, I just talked to some Border Patrol agents yesterday, and they are being brought in. They actually have been coming for a few weeks now. You know, Randy Clark there at Breitbart did a fantastic article on those Biden era burrowers that are being brought back. And, you know, we need communists back having anything to do with the border or immigration enforcement. We all know what's going to happen if they come in and have anything to say with immigration or border enforcement.
Wow.
And unfortunately, yes, that is what's happening, Alex. It's happening 100%. It's happening by God right now. And, you know, Mullen said something the other day about the morale. He wants to improve the morale of ICE and Border Patrol. Well, I'll tell you what, when you bring back the Biden crazies, that doesn't help morale. When you take Border Patrol agents away from the interior, doing a mission they've done for 102 years, that hurts morale. Put those agents back in the interior and let's start those mass deportations up. The morale goes up. Let's get rid of these Biden burrowers. They're there right now.
You had record level people signing up, and I heard morale was at all time highs. But just going back, because we have this footage, you've seen a million times more than us. But we'll later when we post this to X and Rumble, it's live right now. We'll go back and find the clips of that and put it in. Literal purple haired, green haired commies walking around, bossing everybody around. Now, you know, I'm back at the entrance. And they got a fence and, you know, buses, but we're with cameras. We'll see them order Border Patrol around and to come over and confront us. And I mean, I was seeing that day one with when Biden got in. And you're telling me they're bringing back the green and purple haired people to be in command?
Yes, they unfortunately, yes, they're back. Some of them are back there in CBP.
And, explain to people, I'm not lying, right? You literally, we're talking like serious cat ladies.
Well, I don't know about cat. I don't know if they got any cats, but
you know what I mean, like crazy looking leftist. Sorry, I'm interrupting. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Or people that were proven to be weak-kneed under Biden. What are they doing back? Why would you do that? You know, I'm not here to hit anybody or anything like that, but I'm here to hit a policy, and I'm here to hit the fact that we're not doing it right. Are we doing it right? Absolutely not. I'll say that because I'm transparent, but Alex, I've always been transparent. I was transparent for the entire year. You got a face full of transparency from the U.S. Border Patrol during all those operations and all those cities because we wanted the taxpayer to see what was going on and to see what needed to be done. Alex, that was a proof test. What we did over the past year, we proof tested operations in a variety of ways, variety of manners, variety of places, because, and this is very important, because you had seen nothing yet. You had seen nothing yet. What was coming post Minnesota was going to be something spectacular. And, you know, I wish I'd gotten to brief Trump a little more on this. Kristi Noem did a great job briefing, but what was coming was massive, was going to be utterly effective, and was designed to rid this country once and for all of those 100 million illegal aliens. And I think had we done that, American citizens had seen that affordability become, you know, something that was positive. They and American citizens had seen what would have happened if we'd removed that 100 million illegal aliens. You talk about a boon for the conservatives. Holy cow. That really would have helped the conservative movement. We just needed a few more months there, and, you know, manned battle stations, all hands on deck. We had something special lined up, and it's too bad that that didn't take place. Hopefully it will. Trump's a sharp cat, and, you know, get rid of the burrowers, and hopefully Trump will hear, as you say, the rumblings from the grassroots, and he will reenact and put back into place what needs to take place to get this country on track and, again, rid this country of the scourge that besets it. The number one problem that faces this country now are those 100 million illegal aliens that infect us like a cancer.
Well, it's incredible. You know, Obama started the acceleration and went on before that. And then Biden, he said, when I win the election, immediately surged the border and repeated speeches. And then he would turn around with Kamala Harris, the border czar, and say there is no border problem, when she only went to the border like for 10 minutes one time. And now we have Democrats bragging everywhere. Everybody's seen it. Oh, no, we want more seats in Congress. That's even if the illegals don't all vote, which a lot do, they get apportioned more blue seats. And this is their checkmate. This is their winning move. This must be done. And if we lose the midterms and if we don't get a Republican in 2.5 years, do you have any doubt, sir, that they're going to accelerate what they were already doing?
Yeah, they're out in the open now. As you say, they're out in the open talking about that. Hey, we can get more seats if illegal aliens come in. They're out in the open now saying that. So what's going to happen if a Democrat does take office in 2.5 years? You've seen nothing yet. If you think Biden was bad, oh, they've got the book written on that one now. That capitulation in Minnesota, holy cow, that was not a good look, because that empowered them. Never empower a communist, never empower an anarchist, and that's exactly what we did. You can't do that. So 2.5 years is so very important. The midterms are very important. I hope people get out and vote like their life depends on it, because it literally does. Your life and your culture depend on us coming out and ensuring that someone that's going to take interior enforcement seriously is put in office. And we need somebody, not a rhino, because they're as bad as the liberals. They're really bad. I call that the two-front war, Alex. We're fighting a two-front war here.
You're absolutely right.
And, you know, we don't need a two-front war. We need a party that is united. We need conservatives. When I say a party, I'm talking conservatives here, that's united. So we're not fighting the very people that are supposed to be our friends and have our backs. Right now, it's a two-front war. We're fighting bad guys. And we're fighting supposed friends that come in and stab you in the back.
Well,
these rhinos are terrible. Look at that Tom Tillis.
Oh.
Wow, there's a real winner. You know, and there's a lot like him. They want to just do amnesty because it's the easy way. But you know what? The U.S. Border Patrol doesn't operate the easy way. It's not the way we were built. We'll never operate the easy way. It's always the hard way. The hard way is the best way.
I've got to say, hands down, people, you see almost all the other federal agencies where maybe they come into work once a week, some agencies once a month, do absolutely nothing, empty parking lots, empty buildings. All they do is harass citizens, hold back productivity. And then I've been to the border many times, but also during that hardcore year of enforcement just here in Austin, I mean, by the office and wherever, I would see ICE and Border Patrol, and the state police would usually pull the person over, and then they get there. And a few times I would just pull over, even though I was busy. And it was like the Border Patrol and ICE was like a movie where they turn up the speed. And I mean, they would just show up and search the cars. What the hell are you feeding those guys? I mean, that is the model of efficiency and action and bravery and courage. And then, a crooked toenail, or you did this, or they're attacking them down the street and ramming them. And then they show you the tail end of what happens. And so when you're somebody that's a high information voter, you see what heroes they are. And I was gushing, because this is like the model of execution and getting it done. How did you guys, you already had a lot of great people, but how did you energize and just get people so motivated? Because not just the footage I saw on TV. I mean, I've seen it myself. Other people I've talked to, law enforcement, have seen it. I mean, just amazing, the level of energy.
Well, I'll tell you, it was allowing them to do their job first and foremost. They had been under the gun for so many years that when they did their job, they were often investigated. They were often disciplined. and that type of thing. And, you know, when you took the handcuffs off and empowered a workforce that is so highly trained, when I say highly trained, just take a look at the Border Patrol Academy. That's a 6-month academy. And then you've got another 2 years of working for journeymen and field training officers. It's quite a crucible to actually make it through all that Border Patrol training. We don't consider a Border Patrol agent a Border Patrol agent until they have 5 years in. What does that tell you? So you set folks loose to have that high a level of training. The motivation's already there, Alex. The motivation's there. The motivation's 100 million. They are patriots. Those Border Patrol agents and ICE officers are patriots. They are ready to get that job done anyway, anytime, anyhow, for Mom and Pop America.
Well, that was my only criticism, and I got to go in a minute, was that there wasn't enough funding or enough people that knew you were hiring them, because you'd see two or four guys going to get some child molester or murderer, and then they're all by themselves being attacked by 50 people, bottles hitting them in the head, cinder blocks, and they're being rammed by cars, and they're still trying to arrest the person while they're being attacked by hyenas. I mean, I was surrounded by 50 people. I'd say, okay, we'll get you another day. I mean, that's some badasses right there. I mean, compared to the rest of government, it's like night and day.
Absolutely. Level of violence was something we had never seen before. However, when we talk about that upcoming strategy, what came next, we had 250, 300 Border Patrol agents, uniform green shirt Border Patrol agents conducting those roving patrols. What would happen when you saw 5,000 Border Patrol agents and several thousand more state and local police officers who were riot trained, 287G
task
certified,
forces. You're talking about task
along
forces.
With ICE and Border Patrol? I mean, some big stuff. Big stuff was coming, and that's the way you do it. So, you know, I still think there's hope. Trump's a good one, and, you know, he just needs to get rid of some of the weak knees there. Just sweep them aside. He's got some hardcore people ready to go.
Wow, so you hinted at it earlier, but you just elaborated. I knew they were preparing task forces. You guys were ready to pull the trigger on task forces, and it got shut down.
On a scale you've never seen before. I tell you, the good thing about Christine Ohm is she was lockstep. One thing she did that I really respected, she listened. Hey, what do you need? We could outline a strategy to her, and she would take that to heart and get us what we needed. We were proof testing, putting together various models, seeing how they worked in those cities, and what was coming next was just what I said. Whether that was a task force model or just an overwhelming force of Border Patrol agents, yes, absolutely. It was definitely going to be integrated with others for that immigration mission. And I think had Trump got a piece of that strategy, he would have thought, wow, that is something. We spent 5 years building that strategy, Alex. 5 years, a lot of that was under the Biden catastrophe. A lot of us Border Patrol agents were so mad. We thought, you know, when things change, we're going to be ready for that change. And we're going to go after it hard. We're going to kick some ass, in other words. And that's why we spent all those years developing that strategy, so we could just pull it right off the shelf, put it into effect.
Well, two final points. In my dozens of times at the border, and I admit this on air, I said I got to where nothing stressed me out worse. That a threat against me, I can handle it. I don't care. Business stuff, life, whatever, I can handle it. When you're down there watching kids get trafficked and pedos threatening you to your face and all this is going on and you can't kick their ass, you can't take action, and they're loading 5 kids in the back of a hatchback and they're crying and there's no parents, and I felt like I was kidnapping the kids. I mean, and so I get what you're saying, like held back was finally, they were released. That's why they look like Energizer bunnies, just like mirror, mirror, mirror. And pulling back from all of this, just imagine the Democrats behind this, knowing they're doing it, and then demonizing you guys that were willing to get in the middle of this. I just, that's why I got Nick Fuentes on next week. He's mad at Trump about this. He says, you know, vote Democrat. The final piece about punishing Republicans by voting Democrat is there's no argument there, because you have basic border enforcement we didn't have before, and a vote for Democrats is literally voting for human trafficking and an immediate acceleration of where we were before. And so I understand being 26 and popular and let's throw a fit and punish Republicans, you know. No, we have to check the candidates as well. But at the end of the day, people get confused by this. When I bitch at Trump about something, I'm not doing it for brownie points for the Democrats. They try to put me in prison. I'm doing it to get Trump back on course, like we're doing right now. We have to remember that literally this reprieve with Trump, though imperfect, because we're all imperfect, is a wall, a dam, holding back the hell on the other side. Closing comment, sir.
It is. Punish rhinos, not conservatives. Punish those rhinos. That's fantastic, because there are other candidates out there. A lot of them reach out to me. Hey, would you support me? And I do my research on them. I'll support them. It's the Second Amendment and immigration. Those are the litmus tests here. So research those candidates, punish the rhinos, put conservatives in office, and let's get this thing on. Democrats, I can't say it any better than they just suck. And so put a conservative in office, and let's get this immigration thing underway.
Let's do it. I promise the last question, I'm going to go. You are a very eloquent guy. I've been following you for, seeing you on Fox for at least 15 years or whatever. I know you've been in Border Patrol for 30. And there's nothing wrong with somebody that prominent, that did their job, so they got removed for it, out there having a book or making a film or something to move your message out there even more. It's so selfless because I write books and do stuff because I'm going to fight tyranny and also got to make money when the Democrats sue me. How are you operating? I see you all over the place selflessly, never promoting yourself, doing anything. I mean, I hope you write a book. I hope you run for governor. We need you, buddy. We're drafting you for leadership. And how do we support you other than following you on exit to Gregory K. Bovino?
Well, I appreciate it, Alex. I'm on chapter 2 of my book, and
so you do have
I want
a book
to write
coming.
That book to put
so,
the truth so you, out there.
Okay, sorry, I was guessing. Where's the book? Okay, great. Start over.
Yeah, chapter 2. But I want to set the record straight for those Border Patrol agents. Those Border Patrol agents and ICE officers, they put everything out there on the line for a year in the violent law enforcement mission since Prohibition, maybe of all time. And we need to get the truth out there. I don't want that truth occluded by anyone else. So I'm going to set the story straight on that. And you know what? Hey, it's been my life's honor to work alongside those Border Patrol agents. So why not come out and try to continue what we did there over that past year? People need to know what exactly is going on. And transparency and the truth, that's not complaining. That's just telling the truth.
They need a chronicle. Well, again, for people that don't know, you lose your job, you get attacked, you get demonized, you get sued. People, it takes money to win wars. And I was just wondering how you can operate without a job. Thank God you're writing a book. Plus, it's a testament to get it on record from the expert. As soon as your book comes out, I want to have you on. In fact, I would can advise you if you want me a little bit on books, because people are going to want signed copies from you, buddy. And I'm telling you right there, I've had number one New York Times bestsellers for like a month on the charts with the publishers working, don't get any money. People want to buy signed copies from you. And then you can get that funding to even travel more and fight the enemy harder. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to buy 20,000 of your book and sell it right here at thealexjonesstore.com. You got my commitment. 20,000 of those. So when they put you on hold, I'm going to give you my number. Because believe me, I want to help you, because I'm telling you, you are an amazing person. You're a great leader. And I don't normally kiss our guest ass like this. You're what we need to save America. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, Alex. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I know what it's like, folks. He's not whining and bitching. They've been suing him, attacking him, lost his job. He's all over the place fighting the tyranny. I'm like, how are you paying your bills? He's like, no, I'm doing a book. I mean, folks, it takes money to win these wars, people. You think the left just sits there on the sidelines? No, they come after you. So pray for Gregory Bovino. What an amazing individual. All right, I got 2 hours coming up. I am loaded for bear on every international story, Iran, Cuba, China, out the ass, all of the stuff that's going on. But bottom line, there is a war for the heart and soul of this country right now. We've won battles. We have not yet won the war. So it is absolutely critical. Make sure you give me my number, guys, please. It is absolutely critical that you understand that we are winning battles. We have not yet won the war. And do not take my bitching about Trump as an abandonment of our conservative and nationalist values. That is me throwing a fit to get Trump back on chart. And now I'm going to go really crazy that they're bringing back the NGOs and Democrat operatives to take over the Border Patrol and ICE. You think I know everything? People always text me or call me. They go, why aren't you covering this? Because I didn't know. This guy has total credibility on the border and the interior. Gregory Bovino just told you they're not just getting rid of all the Patriot, beyond mega pissed right now. But I'm not going to take my ball and go home about this. And because the buck stops with him. I don't think he even knows this is going on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is why we're on air, because they know we will hold their feet to the fire. Powerful interview. Speaking of funding, I need you to buy products because they're really working. They're great just for us to stay on air how we are. I wish you'd get really excited and realize these are great products and go get a bunch right now so I can expand. You fund us, it's going into the fight. It's going into hiring more crew to work with this great crew, more hosts, more reporters. I want full-time, two reporters at the damn border. You heard him. It's heating back up. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene red capsules are in. Don't have an hour to tell you why they're so great. It's amazing. Up to 50% off. And we have a buy one, get one free that ends Monday or Sunday night at midnight. Going into Monday. The T3 Trifecta Iodine, the very best iodine out there, the missing link. Buy one bottle, get one free. Or Ultimate Life Force, the spike protein, cardiovascular super booster for everybody, old, young, it's great. Ultimate Life Force, buy one bottle, get one free. Or you can buy one bottle of Life Force, get the iodine free, or buy a bottle of the iodine. You can mix and match of those two products. Get two bottles of one thing or get one and the other, and then one's free. Take action now. It's about getting off the bench. I know there's thousands of channels and millions of shows and all this other crap, but there's only one War on for the Mind. There's only one operation like this. It ain't a website. It's not a studio. It's me, it's the crew, it's you, it's the interface, it's what we're doing. So, I need your support. And one way you can do it, I call it a commitment. There's no commitment at all. You can cancel free one click. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 instantly every time your VIP renews. Special deals, special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP now. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, that Greg Bonvino interview, I thought it was going to be great. That was over-the-top powerful. What a real guy. Unbelievable. I'm basically cross-eyed right now. I'm happy to hear what he's doing. It's great to know how great the Patriots are in that area of the federal government. And then I'm so pissed to learn, and he gave sources, which I didn't even know about. People think I know everything. I don't. About the damn hardcore leftist NGOs coming back in that I'm beside myself with anger right now. So, again, when I sit here like this, it's not because there's not a bunch of news. It's because there's too much. But you know, I got to man up and do it. I'm not complaining I got to cover it. It's like my frustration is one of these stacks I could do 2 hours on. So I don't want to like not give it justice. Because you just got an hour of justice, of truth, of analysis, of hardcore. We were finishing each other's sentences because he spent 30 years doing it. I'm just going down the border for the last few decades here and there. And I have mental scars from what I've seen. And I'm not like whining about it. I'm telling you, I don't think anything in my life is because I couldn't beat the living hell out of the people I saw trafficking kids. I had to sit there and watch him do it. And then I felt guilty. And my crew was great. I said other reporters down there, and after a couple of times, they'd say, man, I don't want to go back down there. I just feel like I can't do anything. Like, you are doing it. Because back when Biden first got in, everybody was being censored. You heard our guests. There was few people covering it. Because if you did cover it, you got banned. Well, guess what? I was already banned, so piss up a rope. And that's a microcosm of why you got to keep us on air, folks. Because they're bringing back the censorship. They're going to bring back all the control. And a bunch of these other people that will tell the truth right now when it's safe to do it, they're sunshine patriots. You know what a sunshine patriot is? When the sun's shining and it's easy times and it's all talk and the guns aren't going off, they're up there running their mouths. But when the swords start clashing and the cannonballs start flying and the muskets start flashing, they put their tail between their legs, they piss on themselves, and they run for the hills. And that's why I admire the Border Patrol and ICE. Now, I used to get pissed off when I'd go down to Big Bend or wherever, or go to Mexico, and they had those checkpoints 70 miles in, which I was for interior enforcement for illegals, not for citizens constitutional. And they want to search my car. And I get it. They want to know we had drugs, whatever. I'm just like, I'm not an illegal alien. Leave me alone. But that was that was the more political stuff back then. And I still get it as I grew up and got older. I understand all that. They're doing their job. But, man, the Border Patrol the first year of the Trump administration was just like superhero level compared to what we've had. And if you haven't been out in a crowd of 100 leftists screaming at you, throwing stuff at you, I have. Attacking your vehicle, I have. The crew has. We got all the footage of it countless times. Until you've actually been attacked by these people, and, you know, back when we used to really get out in the public and engage, we were being censored, so we had to get out, you know, in the third dimension. The crew'd be, that's a tough crew and tough security. They're like, you're going to an Antifa rally with five security and armored vehicle. All right, we'll go. But the point is imagine the Border Patrol and ICE every day being attacked. Every day having to see this crap go on. I give credit where credit's due. And to learn they're removing all the hardcore patriots. I know they started with Bovino. And now he says they removed a bunch this week. And some would say, well, see, totally turn on Trump. I'm already bitching at Trump up one side and down the other. Turning on Trump to you, some of you, means leaving him alone and being done. I'm not done. I'm going to light a fire under his orange ass over all of this. I'm not abandoning the field here. I'm not running for the hills. You know, sometimes yellow is not golden. It's just pathetic. We'll be right back. The first big story I want to hit of many is whistleblower revealed a few days ago. The CIA stopped 40 boxes of JFK and MKUltra files from release to the public. JFK was the last president to stand up to the CIA and Israel. He called on AIPAC to register as a foreign agent and was then assassinated. And so then Anna Paulina Luna comes out 2 nights ago and says they raided the office of Tulsi Gabbard and grabbed it. Well, technically it wasn't a raid, but they came and said, oh, we declassified the wrong thing. We're grabbing that back. And the way these agencies work, she may challenge them later because she's over them, but she deferred and they took it. So Anna Paulina Luna wasn't wrong. It wasn't fake news. It's like splitting hairs. But then here's the CIA whistleblower. The very day she's saying this, talking about it himself. And by the way, this guy does a great job because I don't just believe him. I know basically everything he's already covering. It's like I saw this Rand Paul clip this morning about Fauci and the gain of function and lying about it in Wuhan. And I'm like, how is this new? How is this new? We've known this for almost 6 years. Why do we always stay at default and do nothing? And by the end of the clip, he goes, by the way, this has been known for 5 years, and it's time to take action. So we're now getting to the point where people kind of get it. People will say, like, oh, how do you know that's accurate? Or how do you know this is accurate? I watched a bunch of that CIA whistleblower's testimony. His demeanor, his background, all of it, but everything he said I already knew. Like, you know, I was talking to our last guest, Greg Bovino, and I was like, tell him about this, and that. He goes, yeah, that's right, this, and that, because I've been there. I don't just see somebody testifying and go, oh, I believe him, I want to believe that, oh, yeah. I've done my research, I've lived it, I've been there on so many subjects. How do I know there was a stand down? And feds attacking on January 6th, I was there. I mean, on so many subjects, it's about boots on the ground, skin in the game. So John Bowne's done a report on this, but Fauci is in a lot of trouble. The CIA is in a lot of trouble. It's all coming out on the CIA cover-up with this whistleblower at Wuhan, on MKUltra. They were already going to have hearings this week. Those got canceled. They are in panic mode. And MKUltra is the old stuff. But they're scared. Because already some MKUltra stuff got declassified a month ago, and it's, yeah, we're poisoning the food, the water, and the shots to dumb down and control them. What have we been telling you forever? They're like, oh, the whole government's bad. No, it's the mad scientist ruling elite. And that's what I want to talk about. In fact, I was loaded for bear today. I was ready to expose the big enchilada the first 30 minutes of the show. I was going to come on and say, I'm not hitting China and Cuba first, and I'm not hitting all this other stuff first. I'm going to hit who runs the New World Order, what's at the top of the food chain. And I was so zen-focused, which isn't every show. And then Murphy's Law, the whole internet system goes down and all the machines and their programming get wiped. Whatever did that, I'm sure it's just an accident. But I'm still here. It's just once you're loaded and ready and prepared with all the data and you're up there and you boom, and then you kind of cattywamp us off, but it's okay. Because the good news is the Great Awakening's here, and a lot more people know about this than me now, and so time is on our side. The globalists thought they could try to shut me down and intimidate me and destroy me as an example to intimidate you, but instead it had the opposite effect. And that's why I salute you all, and I thank you. Here's John Bowne's report.
People died of the flu the last year. I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know, how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
During an explosive Senate Homeland Security hearing, 20-year CIA veteran James Erdman dropped devastating testimony exposing the federal government's alleged cover-up of COVID-19's lab origins.
Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional. Dr. Fauci influenced the analytical process and findings by leveraging his position to ensure the IC consulted with a conflicted list of curated subject matter experts, public health officials, and scientists. The BSEG scientists influenced national laboratory WMD research, policy decisions, finished analysis, and other intelligence matters, creating misaligned incentives and conflicts of interest, as well as counterintelligence issues.
Chairman Rand Paul led the charge while the Democrats boycotted entirely.
Peter Daszak received hundreds of millions of dollars from the U.S. government and worked with Dr. Xi also on these gain-of-function experiments. Daszak was even sent to China with the WHO to investigate the origins of COVID. So the very scientists that were commissioned to investigate COVID were, in some cases, the very scientists who were complicit in the origins of the gain-of-function experiments that may well have created COVID. The intelligence community pays researchers to review work and write papers. NIH funds their grants. The CIA then consults them and gives them access to classified information. The national academies publish their work. Policymakers then cite the result as a consensus. But it's a circle. At the center of the government side of this circle was Dr. Anthony Fauci. During COVID, intelligence officials arranged for Dr. Fauci to review highly classified intelligence assessments that could not even be sent outside the White House complex. But how can Anthony Fauci objectively comment on a discussion of COVID origins when he approved the very funding that may have caused the pandemic virus?
Erdman directly accused Dr. Anthony Fauci of intentionally steering the process, leveraging his network of conflicted scientists to protect NIH-funded research and shield the truth. The result was a pandemic response built on deception, emergency authorizations for mRNA shots, and retaliation against anyone challenging the official story.
For over 20 years. In fact, several of the BSEG scientists helped Dr. Fauci rewrite definitions of gain of function in 2015 to lift a funding pause on dangerous research. Still others participated in planning Event 201 in 2019. This was a coronavirus pandemic tabletop exercise, curiously similar to the events that played out during the COVID-19 pandemic. And it was attended by Dr. Fauci and individuals with IC ties like former DNI Avril Haines. The analysts that supported the 2023 lab leak conclusion took every administrative measure available to them to address their deep concerns regarding the analytic integrity of their finished intelligence. CIA managers retaliated against them for their refusal to agree with management's middle-of-the-night anonymous rewrite of the analysis, which changed the assessment to a non-call judgment.
Fauci's senior advisor, David Morenz, faces felony charges for allegedly using personal emails to conceal records on EcoHealth Alliance and Wuhan grants while dodging FOIA requests.
This is what the deep state does. I can't explain it all. My investigation now, because I finally got documents This would never have happened if we didn't have documents. And by the way, just like we found that David Morin's email that now is resulting in prosecution, where, you know, he has a FOIA lead, show him how to make emails disappear, send me something sensitive to my Gmail. We have the same types of evidence in our report.
With Rand Paul's repeated perjury referrals and mounting evidence of obstruction, the deep state firewall is cracking. The reckoning for this crime against humanity is long overdue. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
All right. That report is at alexjoneslive.com if you want to share it, which I think you should. And did you hear that CIA whistleblower? Tabletop exercise, event 201, 2 months before they released COVID, mirrored exactly what they did. You're being told right there what's going on. That is so huge. Now, coming up, they put out this big fake story on Massey. It made the neocon in Polymarket and other polls come up and to par with him. But when the story and the evidence came out, it was fake. Massey shot back up. This morning, he was at 64-37 against the neocon. And now we just checked it on Polymarket, one of the most accurate systems to gauge future events. And now it's 65-36. Overhead shot, please. So, again, that is this morning. And now he's already up another point. So they were neck and neck yesterday afternoon, until the truth came out that none of it was true. And I'm going to get into all of that coming up. But now he's at 65-36. That's the latest. We will get to that coming up. And this is a referendum on whether the establishment can defeat a populist candidate and then terrorize everybody else. It's a message to everybody else. Now, everybody's making a big deal about the fall of Daily Wire. Daily Wire got over $1 billion of Israeli funding starting about 8-9 years ago. And it was basically force-fed to everyone, but they mixed in a lot of good shows with good topics and good issues. So overall, I didn't attack it a bunch, you know, just because it was basically run by the Israelis. I would just point out that they had that vein in there of trying to control the conservative movement. So when they got ready to try to get us into big wars, they could be in control of it. And sure enough, that is what ultimately ended up happening. But bigger than the Daily Wire, it's a canary in the coal mine of Trump being told 100% of MAGA supports your war in Iran. But in reality, the Daily Wire has completely imploded and lost over 90% of its audience, going from millions of views per video to about 10,000 on average since this happened. And now they're down to a quarter of their employees they were just a year ago. So it's done because they carried out an action of a foreign power controlling America, trying to keep us in this big war, and it failed. And that tells you the truth that the vast majority of Trump supporters have their heads screwed on straight and are against this and didn't buy the BS of Shapiro. But Shapiro's bought and paid for, so he had a mission like a kamikaze to carry it out no matter what. Ben Shapiro's media empire is collapsing. It's already collapsed. Here's the New York Times. Why Ben Shapiro's media empire is collapsing. And it gets into all of that right there. And we've got a graphic here of your radio listener. I'll describe it. It's got four different panels of Ben Shapiro. He's not in clown makeup. He's in a little bit of makeup, a lot of makeup. Now he's total clown. I tell people if they can't afford to live here, maybe you shouldn't live here. That's just common sense. Apply that same logic consistently. If my content isn't working, maybe I shouldn't be doing it. Got another one with Mark Levin. Gossip over ideas. Look at his videos. 1,000 views. 1,300 views. 1,000 views. 1,100 views. He was never big online, but he used to have 50,000 views per video. It's a 90%+ reduction in views for these guys. And that's who Trump points at and says, that's MAGA. That's your leadership. That's who you follow. We got Mark Levin threatening people. Mark Levin issues a warning. Total threat. We'll be getting to that. Charlie Kirk criticizing the Israel First lobby, trying to bully him, endorsing Thomas Massey, but now TPUSA has endorsed the neocon Israeli operative in Kentucky. So this is all about a foreign power controlling our politics. You can debate Massey all day, and is he too liberal on some things? He has a very conservative record on Second Amendment and things like that, but It doesn't matter because you have a foreign-backed candidate and tens of millions of foreign money coming in that is illegal. And now Massey's introduced legislation to make AIPAC register as a foreign lobbyist, which they should. And the last person to do that was Kennedy. He got his head blown off. So Massey's got big balls. And you can only say to that, we should back him. When you get attacked, when you get sued by the establishment, it means you're going against what they're doing. I'm stating an obvious thing here, but let that sink in. That's why I need your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support at TheAlexJonesReport.com. Because we've been on here 32 years. I've had the deep state on my ass for at least 25. Them full tilt boogie for 10. And I'm only here because of you. Oh, Alex, you persevere. Oh, you're so great. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to fight. I'm just like you. I thank you for supporting us. But you're the variable. You're everything. Your word of mouth, sharing the articles, the videos, the live feeds, telling those you share it with to share it, telling those they share it with to share it, completing the chain reaction. That's the key. You've got all the power. Use it. So I got a bunch of Fuentes clips. And I wanted to start the show with this today and explain something. And again, if I put on a Hitler uniform and said, Heil Hitler, I'd be more popular. That's how much people have turned against Israel and the lobby and all of that. And people waking up to globalism. The one thing they know about in globalism is not the communist Chinese, not the EU, not the New World Order, not the mad scientist up above it, the eugenics plan. They now know about Israel. And Israel's a huge block of the globalist power. Half of the billionaires are Zionists. It's definitely real, and criticism of it is good and healthy to get past that taboo. So you can't be controlled by political correctness. But you need to also understand the other players and what is up above this, how they're creating a clash of civilizations and a repeat of World War II. They're branding the whole New World Order and censorship, and all of this is Jewish, and the Jewish leaders are acting like clowns, saying all that and doing all that. It's terrible, but it's part of a larger plan. When guests say, man, it's like, who hate Israel, it's like Israel's trying to make people hate them. Uh-huh. So they've decided to make the next big conflict, the culture conflict, about Jew versus Gentile, when it is only a subset of the larger system, which people then say, oh, you're being an apologist for Israel because you get money from or something. I get the opposite. I get lawsuits, attacks, demonization. No, I'm trying to get people to get big picture. I mean, take Oracle and Amazon. It runs spying that makes Palantir blush. It's got most of the contracts, Microsoft as well. Microsoft, Oracle, Google, they have 90%+ of, you know, Alexa 15 years ago listening to you in your house, all the new cars listening to you, tracking you. It's all of them. That's not defending Palantir when people obsess on that because the corporate media focuses on it. I'm saying, why is the very corporate system that works for all these big tech companies that are even more powerful and evil, how do you only know about Palantir? Well, that's because Trump tried to bring Palantir in to somehow control big tech, so they went ahead and headed that off at the pass. And it doesn't mean you can trust that. I was stating what the lay of the land was, not defending Palantir. That's what I do. Yeah, Larry Ellison once predicted citizens will be on their best behavior amid constant recording. Now his company will play a key role in social media. Yeah. And he owns TikTok and all the rest of it. I'm just talking about, you got a bunch of gorillas in the room, and Oracle's 5,000 pounds and Microsoft is 6,000 pounds and Google's 10,000 pounds. And then you've got little tech that's coming in, you know, that weighs 800 pounds. And I'm supposed to obsess on the 800-pound gorilla all day. I'm like, okay, 800-pound gorilla, let's look at it. Here it is. Here's the 5,000-pound gorilla with a club over here. I'm just trying to get people to, like, look at all of this and learn the corporate media is only telling you there's surveillance and control through Palantir, and everybody knows about that and is upset when you should be aware of it all, like the kill switches in your cars run by Microsoft. Yeah, it's just the whole thing, folks, is a nightmare. You need to see the full picture. And so the same analogy goes with Palantir being one part of this, and Israel being one part of it. It doesn't lessen Israel, what they're doing, or what Palantir is doing, to be aware of the other players. That's what I'm trying to get people to do, is see the big picture. So Nick talks about Jews always fail upward. They will always have a safe harbor because of institutional power. They only had a CBS to barely talk, but she'll sleep. They put her in there, and that's the way it is. They'll keep coming back until we're dead. We have to keep coming back to the battlefield in the hope one day they won't show up. And he's absolutely right within that spectrum. But I'm simply saying you have the mad scientist up above all of that, the poison shots, the 5G, the fluoride in the water that's attacking everybody. And I want to unify everyone, whether they be Jewish, Gentile, Muslim, agnostic, whatever. If you want to join Team Humanity, the door is open, and not just create a lexicon where we're only aware of corruption and manipulation and tribalism. And then you choose, well, I'm with the Jews or I'm with Hitler 2.0. When it's much bigger than that, that's all I'm saying. But exposing the Jewish lobby, exposing their undue control over everything is very healthy and good. Now let's go to the next level and let's dismantle the whole thing and make it about policy and make it about issues that transcends race and religion so that we can fix all of this. And I don't mean that ecumenically transcend Christianity. Christianity will be what people defer to because it's the real thing. I'm just saying to demystify it and just shut it down as tribalism. Realize no matter whether you're Jewish or whether you're, you know, Arabic or whether you're a WASP or whether you're Hispanic, the New World Order is coming after you. The New World Order is anti-human. It's a post-human system. Let's go to Nick Fuentes.
These people will always fail upward, no matter how many times they bust out, no matter how many times they lose all their chips because they objectively suck at what they do, no matter how many towns they get chased out of by the peasants with the pitchforks and torches, once they catch on to this operation they're running, they will always have a safe harbor because of institutional Jewish power. They will always fall back into the arms of the World Jewish Organization, the World Zionist Organization, some Jewish billionaire in bed with the State of Israel, because that is how they operate. What this means is that there is no reprieve for us. It's never over. It is literally never over. Shapiro's not done, not by a long shot. He will be invited to symposiums and conventions and conferences. He will be doing his podcast until he is dead, when they will write some glowing, what do they call that? When somebody dies?
Obituary.
They will write some glowing piece for him in the New York Post and the New York Times and all these other Weekly Standard about how he was the icon, the standard bearer. He was the authority on conservatism. I promise you that is how it will go. He is going nowhere. There is no scenario where he retires, no scenario where he goes away, crashes out, he gets some job. He doesn't need to be popular. He'll be like Bill Kristol. He will keep existing at the bottom of the ocean floor, eating zooplankton if he has to, because that is how that works. And we, on the other hand, we will never get any reprieve. People like me and Candace Owens and Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson, we will be fighting our entire lives to keep our heads above the water. We will be treading water, borne back against the waves, until we are either, again, bankrupted, killed, die from the pressure. Think about what is happening. Candace Owens is being sued by Brigitte Macron. She's being sued by Turning Point. Everybody is piling on. Laura Loomer is investigating the whole family, cranking up the pressure on this family business, which is what it is. I saw their operation. It's in her house. It's in her basement. It's not even that big. It's Candace and her husband, their kids.
We'll come back with the rest of this on the other side. Really important stuff coming up. Stay with us. So my point is, we should be opposing worldwide agreements that all the new cars track and trace and have kill switches, that all these home devices are watching and listening to you, and that the data centers are going to get all the power and energy, and they can do whatever they want, but humans are bad, and they're running TV ads in the UK. I saw it last week. I meant to play it. Where get a turtle because a dog or cat eats meat and that hurts the earth. And you eat meat, you breathe, you're bad. I mean, just we need to reject the entire globalist eugenics New World Order system and anybody pushing it. And guess what? Keir Starmer, Macron, MERS of Germany, Netanyahu, They're all pushing it. So my point is that this is a scientific globalist takeover of enslavement. To literally make us obsolete. I saw Senator Kennedy Monday talking about it. I never played the clip, but he's like, they want to make you non-self-sufficient. They want to domesticate you to control you so they can then just phase you out and depopulate you. Yes, that's what this is. It's the big central issue. The globalists want you dead, like my film Endgame, made in 2007. More important now than when I first made it. It's ultra green. Not evergreen, ultra green. Gets better with time. And they're announcing all their world IDs and all their digital IDs and all their systems, and it's all coming in and it's all going on, run by a bunch of psychotics. And so the big story is the Daily Wire's collapsed. It collapsed a long time ago. It was propped up. And yeah, that's important. And all the shows that promote freedom and promote the truth, they're all popular, whether it's Joe Rogan, Candace Owens, Alex Jones, Nick Foyt, Tucker Carlson. And I never make a big deal about this, but notice most of these articles, they don't mention, you know, viral Alex Jones. They don't let me on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, because we're always number one when we were there. Oh, but let's look at Rumble. What are we on Rumble? And I'm not measuring wieners here. But the media attacks, oh, Nick Fuentes, you know, he's the top of Rumble, consistently under Alex Jones. See that? And that's just my channel, not all the hundreds of fan channels. But I'm not debating who's bigger. I think overall Nick Fuentes in total viral clips to young people and on all platforms, I think Nick's probably reaching more people than me right now. Again, that's great. He's getting people thinking. And he's getting them out of their comfort zone. Even though I disagree with some things he says, it doesn't matter because the left saying all white people and Christians are the devil and exterminate you and all this other crap. And then you're worried when some white person stands up and some Catholic person stands up for themselves and talks back at you half as strong as you're talking to them. Nick is not calling for killing people that aren't white, but that's what the universities and the left and these Jewish organizations are pushing. And then the Jewish organizations flip out and go, well, wait a minute, we're not white. We're trying to say the Gentiles are the enemy. What are you doing saying we're the main enemy? It's totally backfired. And so now, in the last election, all these billionaire Jews ran to Trump because they go, oh, my God, the left all hates us now. And you call it a contagion that has infested the right wing now. When you come in and try to censor and control and dominate everybody, what do you think is going to happen? You Streisand effect it. You come in and try to censor people. Even people talking about globalism or AI or open borders. Oh, you're anti-Semitic. People go, well, screw it, I am then. Because the powerful Jewish lobby has made itself the police dog of the New World Order. You can say, well, that's because it's in charge of it. And to a great extent, it is a lot of Jewish billionaires that captain the highest post of the New World Order. And the point is, the people see that now, and they know that now. So when I temper what I'm saying and don't make it all about Jews, I just oppose bad operations and bad organizations, it's not so the Jewish lobby leaves me alone. They're on my ass even more because I don't get down at a base level like Hamas, created and funded by Israel, says kill all the Jews. That's the opposition they want, is just mindless, kill them all, exterminate, instead of like, hey, I'm not your slave. You're not going to tell me how to live. You're not going to run my life, and I'm not bad because I'm white and I'm Christian. That is a Christ-like position. A Gandhi position, a Martin Luther King position. That's why they don't like me, because I'm actually trying to unify people. And the Jews that don't want to be part of this, come on over here. Let's be friends. Most black folks aren't racist. There's a small minority of them, but it's a big group that literally want to kill all the white people. And then the NGOs and the Soros-installed judges let them get out of jail free so they can kill and kill and kill and kill, knowing that'll make white people turn against black people. They are turning us against each other, like in From Russia with Love. When Spectre calls in their top agents and says, you see the Siamese fighting fish, we're going to have these two fight, one will die, the other will be almost dead, and then Spectre comes in and finishes off the other. That's what this is. Now, everything Nick says here is pretty accurate, other than Jones is, you know, kicked out of his Infowars studios, broadcasting from his mansion. I'm not in my house. This is not my house I'm broadcasting from. I ate some meatloaf that was really spicy with hot sauce during the break, and it just went down the wrong way. Sorry about that. I hadn't eaten yet. I was gobbling during that last break, so that's why I'm coughing. Sorry about the annoyance. But as soon as Nick comes to town next, he'll get to come over to our backup studios. We've got bigger ones being built a few miles from here. Another office down the street. But it's okay if I had a mansion. I've never had a mansion. But the point is that I am being hunted. And those of us that are fighting the establishment, we are hunted. And quite frankly, if you're a cartoon character running around in a Nazi uniform, the system loves you. That's why the Southern Poverty Law Center got caught running almost all the major white supremacist groups. And the ADL's been caught as well. They don't like me because I'm a reasonable, real, informed person saying, I'm not playing into your caricature. What you're doing is wrong. Stop it. And I'm not for the Muslims either. They always try to make it like that. Oh, you're for the Muslims. Oh, yeah, right. I am an Islamophobe. Dyed in the wool. Just like I'm an arachnophobe. I mean, I don't have like a screaming fear of them, but, you know, I've got a lot of brown recluse in Texas and Black Widow, but brown recluse particularly in Austin. And, I mean, I can't tell you, my house has got so, I hate pesticides, but I have to use them to stop them. I must live in, like, brown recluse heaven or something. And sometimes once a week, but usually like once a month, I'll be sitting there brushing my teeth and, or I'll be, you know, sitting there on the couch with my daughter playing a board game or something, and I just see that little son of a bitch come walking around the ground, and I just go, yeah. And I guess I do, I flee forward, you know, fight or flight, I just instantly kill it. Just like you get to the edge of a cliff that's 5,000 foot down, you're going to die, you fall off. You bet you get butterflies in your stomach. You bet your body pushes you back. You got phobias for a reason, folks. And you better damn well believe I got an Islamic phobia. And I got a phobia of the left and all these leftist Jewish organizations trying to demonize me and create a race war and run my life, and I'm sick of it all. So you don't want me acting, you stop acting like a spider. And try to tell me all day I'm a damn villain when you know damn well that's not the case. I have no bloodlust against you. I don't have a need to dominate you to prove I'm better or something. But I tell you, Mark Levin making threats and all the rest of it to people, you better watch it. Your little podcast, we're coming after you. And then you, Gorka, yeah, we're going to charge you with all the terrorism. You think that makes me want to back down? I already knew you guys are thugs. I already knew you're a bunch of wannabe tough guys. But guess what? You're abandoned now. You don't have any support. The spell is lifted. People aren't buying into your crap anymore. And I got a lot of other fish to fry here other than obsessing over Israel all day. And shove yourself in the way of that and call us all Hitler if we don't do what you say. Well, what are you going to conjure? You're going to conjure Hitler. You're manifesting it. And I can see where that leads, and it ain't good. So I'm just a warning sign. That's all I am. Because God works through mere humans to give people warnings. And I'm a warning sign to everybody, not just the Jews. Big tech, New World Order, the Chi-Coms, the globalists, the EU, pedophiles, all of them. You guys are losing on every front. And the more you squeeze and push people around, the more it turns against you. And the more you know, they had the Davos group a few days ago go, oh, AI's our God. There is no God except it. It will finally be our savior. That's crazy talk. It's delusional. But I'm going to tell you, you get to the top of the elites, they all believe they're conjuring some type of demon through these computers. And I told you that decades ago, not because I just imagined it. I've read some of their writings, and now it's mainstream news. You'll have some Chinese professor that talked about it a year ago. Oh, my God, he said it a year ago. Now they're saying it enables. He's a prophet. Well, I said it 25 years ago. But it's not about who said it first. It's about how did I say it? Because they said it. You got CERN trying to bring in interdimensional demons. You got all this stuff going on. And instead we're running around about Muslims and Jews all day and they're shooting missiles at each other. It's idiocy, folks. All right, finish up with Point Test. Here it is.
House. It's in her basement. It's not even that big. It's Candace and her husband, their kids running around, and then they got their little studio. And nobody's coming. You think some billionaire is going to come and bail her out? Never going to happen. Alex Jones, same thing. He got sued by the Sandy Hook parents. The Onion bought him out, and now he's in his mansion doing his show with a skeleton crew. No bailout, no nothing, no Larry Ellison. And it's the same story with me. If I stop doing the show, I stop going live on time, I get swallowed up by legal problems, financial problems, I'm not getting bailed out either. So that's why we always have to keep our foot on the gas. There is no scenario where we sit back and take it easy and we get to be careless and we get to be irresponsible. We get to lower our standards and let our guard down. It doesn't work like that because we are fighting an enemy that has infinite resources. They will keep coming back and coming back and coming back until we are dead. And that is the task for us. We have to keep coming back and meeting them on the battlefield and hope that one day they don't show up. Hope that one day they collapse under their own weight. But more likely than not, we're going to perish first. And that's what is called for.
And that's the globalist strategy, is to target the leaders of any resistance movement. Doesn't mean the movement's perfect or has all the answers, but it's against the establishment. Target the leaders, destroy them, put them in prison, bankrupt them, kill them, as a message to everybody else that you better not stick your head up. But the dystopia the globalists are offering, this consortium of psychotics, is so horrible we're forced to do it. And what they're noticing is we're not like the satanic left. You try to intimidate us or hurt us, it doesn't make us go away. It makes us fight that much harder. And that dovetails into Thomas Massie and the backfiring of Laura Loomer's fake story and all the rest of it that came out 2 days ago. We're going to get to that in a moment. But here is Mark Levin just a few months ago to Tucker Carlson and others. You think your little podcast would come at me? I mean, this is definitely a threat. And now, oh, the counterterrorism czar, oh, we're going to get you, by name. Yeah, this is all about intimidation. It's all about threats. Hey, we already know you're bad. That's why we're fighting you. So just please keep running your mouth. Keep threatening us. We get it. You're the bad guys. We got you. Keep running your mouth. All it does is encourage me. Here it is.
And I just want the anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-West crowd to understand something.
You're going to have to come through me and millions of people just like me. And you're not going to make it. You think your stupid little podcast, or your stupid little subscription program, or your little TV show, or maybe you had a little radio show, is going to change the world like hell it is, not if I and everybody else have something to say.
That's right. So, Trump says Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin are his voice, and they are all collapsing and have almost no viewers. That's who we're told that we're supposed to emulate and go after, and then the public completely turns against them. Why is Ben Shapiro's media empire collapsing? It explains the pro-Israel, Israel-first thing is destroying them, which is true. So then we see Congressman Massie. He's been consistently about 15 points ahead of the neocon Ed Galran, tens of millions from Open Israel funding. But yesterday, when they put out this fake story, well, the night before, but it peaked yesterday, that a woman said she dated him after his wife had died. Okay, big deal if it's even true. And we don't care about the human trafficking, cloning, murder, pedophilia, Epstein cover-up. Oh, my God, when your wife died, you dated a woman. And then it turns out she made these claims over a year ago and got thrown out of court. It turns out she's made these claims about a bunch of other people and has zero credibility. So for a few hours on Polymarket, the neocon Israeli operative Ed Galran came up and tied with Massie. But since then, this morning, it was 64-37, Massie explosive double-digit lead. Now he's at 66. Last time I hit refresh, it's 66. Is that 65 right now? What just went down to 65 during the break. So there you go, and the election's Tuesday. Think they're going to bust a cap in Massie? That's ghetto slang for shooting somebody. You know, that's what you do. You bust a cap. There's a cap on the back of a bullet, the back of the cartridge that detonates the white powder inside, then fires the bullet down the barrel? Yeah, no, let me tell you something. Tucker Carlson better be saying his prayers. So should Thomas Massey, and so should Nick Fuentes. I already sent somebody to try to kill him, or he tried to kill Paul, Rand Paul. And yeah, I'm on that list too. But this is a death-defying life we lead, folks. I hope listeners understand, we're real people in the arena. We're targeted by the ADLs of the Property Law Center. We're sued. We're demonized. We have Gorka saying we're terrorists. We have them debanking us, coming after us. And all those white supremacist groups I told you really work for the Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL, that's all been revealed and confirmed now. They're the ones always running around saying, I'm a Fed. But in all the documents and all the suits and in the WikiLeaks, I'm in the WikiLeaks and I'm in the Epstein files. It's all attacking me, how I'm exposing them, how I've got to be dealt with. And I don't have to defend myself and prove I'm the real deal, 32 years on air, moving the needle, hardcore against the globalists, thanks to your support. But just remember, when you see those anonymous white supremacist accounts saying, I'm a Fed, they're the Feds. They work for the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL. Here's clip 11. It's dead on. Massey says Secretary of War Hegseth is personally going to visit Kentucky, because what he's doing is undermining this foreign power's control of America. And I like Hegseth overall. He signed on to follow the commander-in-chief. We'll have to personalize this, but that is what's happening. Here it is.
But I've heard that the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is coming to intervene in my campaign. Look, dogs don't bark at parked cars. And the fact that you've got cabinet secretaries that may be coming to my district to campaign against me during a war, the Secretary of War during a war, shows how serious this is to the global elites that I lose. And that's why it's so serious that I do win. If there's going to be any hope in Washington, D.C., if there's going to be any voice, anybody that ever challenges the narrative, whether it's on war or whether it's on immunity for companies, whether they're data centers or whether they're pesticide manufacturers. Look, there's all kinds of cronies, that not just the foreign influence cronies, but corporate cronies on the meatpacking industry. And you'll see occasional fake fights where Republicans may engage in a fake fight, and then I show it's all fake. And that's why they hate me for breathing air in the swamp.
Bingo, 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 bingo. And you know they're going to try to pull the stops with election fraud, but you can only bake in 10-15% depending on the state. What's 37 to 65? How many more points is that ahead? Do the math. That's a lot of points. Yeah, 28 points. They might put out a deep fake of, you know, Massey raping a baby or something. Because that's what the deep state will do to cover up their raping of the babies. But it's important to remember Massey's real record versus the fake record they put out. Here he is on the Second Amendment.
For 14 years, Congressman Thomas Massey has fought night and day in D.C. for your right to keep and bear arms. He says no to gun bans. No to red flag gun confiscation. No to corrupt agencies like the ATF that wage war on law-abiding gun owners. While the radical left tried to cancel him over a Christmas card, Massey wrote the Real National Constitutional Carry Act, protecting your right to carry nationwide. He's been fighting to defend our children by arming teachers and restore gun rights for our veterans. Vote for the Second Amendment. Vote for Thomas Massey. Gun Rights America is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Now, here's Shapiro, one of the unpopular things he said. Hey, young people, you can't make ends meet. You know, you got a college degree, all this. You just need to move to another country. No, the globalists set it up with the inflation and the regulations and the control to make it people so poor on average they can't have kids. They're destroying the economy on purpose. That's what the Great Reset's about. And sure, there's some lazy people, and they can work harder or whatever, but you don't say that. There's still some opportunities to work harder. You just say, just let them eat cake. Meanwhile, you have almost no viewers, but you're propped up by Israel. Not everybody has sugar daddies like you. Here's a little Benny boy.
And then if you're a young person and you can't afford to live here, then maybe you should not live here. I mean, that is a real thing.
Yeah, I know that we've now grown up in a society that says that you deserve to live where you grew up, but the reality is that the history of America is almost literally the opposite of that. The history of America is you go to a place where there is opportunity. And if the opportunities are limited here and they're not changing, then you really should try to think about other places where you have better opportunity.
Now, let's shift gear to Nick Fuentes, something I disagree with him about. He says, the old American Republic's dead. It's time to be an empire. Hey, Nick, we've been an empire since the end of World War II, and the empire sold us out to the globalist system. We need to reverse that and get back to being a constitutional republic. We need nation states in the future, not empires. And through soft power, just like we had a big war with Vietnam and dropped 7.6 million bombs on them, and now they're enemies with China and working with us, one of our biggest trading partners, and becoming a capitalist country. So here's an important clip.
It's time for the American Republic to die. Maybe you don't want to hear that. Maybe your provincial sensibilities, sentimentality, you're clinging to the Republic. The Republic is dead. The American Republic is dead. And it's never coming back. Long live the American Empire, which must be born from its ashes. It's gone. It's never coming back. The Constitution, the founding, our way of life before is dead. That chapter is over. We have turned the page. Throw out the Norman Rockwell paintings and the Boy Scout uniforms. You're clinging to something that is already gone. We have to start to think about the future, which is an American empire that constitutes all of North, Central, and South America. We have to turn this half of the planet into a tank, a fortress, a factory, an aircraft carrier. It will be a base for lunar and Martian expedition. It will be a base of operations for war against the entire world. And it's going to be the engine and the guarantor of our quality of life and our prosperity. Because you have to know that that is all ending very soon if we don't do anything. You think it's going to go on like this forever? AC and TVs and eating meat every day of the week? Slaves delivering your DoorDash, driving you around town in an Uber, cheap electricity, cheap energy. You think that's going to go on forever? You think AI will save us from all that? Nah, we're going to need more stuff. So, it's coming out of somebody's ass. Central and South America, that's the future.
Well, that's a big oversimplification. Innovation is what we need, not to be an empire. We've been an empire. That's why we're where we're at. We need to get back to agrarian society that is connected to high-tech society and promote both those with balance at the same time and build it all as a pro-human system and enforce the Bill of Rights and Constitution. All right, I'm going to come back. Massive news next hour. Speaking of the empire, Trump's trying to shore it up. In China and with Cuba, big developments there, big AI developments, and so much more. Remember, I'm funded by you. I want to fight, but this dog don't hunt and fight without your support. You got a buy one, get one free mega sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com, and now we have methylene red capsules in stock. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com. All right, into hour number four, Jason Burmis does an incredible job breaking down masses of news and analysis with documents, video clips. He's about to take over. Then Harrison Smith comes in to sit in this chair for the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. We're going to build and expand this network. We need your support, thealexjonesstore.com. Now back to the empire, which we are, which is why we're in trouble. Oil prices climb on fears of broader energy crunch. But Trump says he's not worried about that. He also says he wants Iran's uranium mostly for public relations. Trump said in an interview with Fox News that aired last night, the U.S. that the mission to recover uranium, which is thought to be buried beneath the rubble of bomb nuclear sites, could be viewed as unnecessary because the U.S. was maintaining round-the-clock surveillance. We have 9 cameras on the site, and it goes through it all. Yeah, that's all true. And they said Midnight Hammer was successful, so why do you got to do this? Because they want regime change. They want to keep us in this unpopular war. Now, am I going to cry if Cuba falls, which is on the verge of doing? No, except look at Venezuela. We put the vice president, who was actually running things, the evil communist, back in charge. Oh, regime change to get rid of Assad and put somebody 10 times worse, the head of Al-Qaeda in Syria. That's what I think about. Why did Israel found Hamas? Why did they fund them? To have a bunch of crazies so you can just blow up the Palestinians whenever you want. Real simple. And I'm telling you, Israel, though, is apoplectic and panicking. The Israel lobby, that they don't have control of the U.S. right now. And they're just one big player, but it's all focused on that. And they're buying into it so they can, you know, get even more hype going and get more, you know, donations from Jews that are scared. This is when you get false flag down. And Jason Mermis made the film I produced at Fabled Enemies that looks at staged terror attacks, including 9/11 and Israel's involvement. Perhaps we'll get into that today. But because I've mentioned this some lately, people say, how dare you say that? In the next couple days or the next week or so, I'm going to do a deep dive on it for you. Maybe we'll just air Fabled Enemies here on air. It's evergreen. Movie's probably 15, 16, 17 years old. I don't know. But the U.S. and Cuba intensely are in negotiations as island collapse deepens because the blockade of oil was already in trouble. Protests break out in Havana during Cuba's worst blackouts in decades. U.S. plans to indict Cuba's Raul Castro, DOJ official says, so that's the same model with Maduro. And they got the CIA meeting with Cuban leaders right now in Havana to talk about regime change, but where the new regime is the same people, but now works for the CIA. So I thought, you're going to have elections and free up Venezuela and Cuba. Oh, sorry. This is the new model, which is the old model, the American empire. But now we don't even hide that fact. And when your government does that to Venezuela and does it to Cuba, what are they going to do with us? It's a lot bigger than Trump, folks. It's a big deal. And where are the prosecutions for human trafficking? Mayorkas, all of it. What an incredible interview, the second hour with Greg Bovino. Man, that has got to go super viral. That was so powerful. But in closing, before Jason Mermis takes over, I'm going to say this again because we barely have the funds coming in just to operate this network at impulse power. We're having a huge effect, but I want to hire more hosts. I want to go more hours live a day. I want to hire reporters. You've seen what we've already done before. We're going to the next level if you choose this mission. The mission is get great products that enrich your life and power your life and keep us on the air. Take action now. Methylene red capsules are incredible. Take an hour to get into it all. Clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus, and performance. Cellular energy, no crash, no junk, no watered-down formula. We also have a buy one, get one free sale going until Sunday night at midnight, going into Monday night. Buy one T3 highest quality pure iodine, the missing link, get another bottle free. Buy one Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox Cardiovascular Heart Brain Booster and get another one free. Everybody should be on that formula. Or you can get one Life Force and one T3 free, or one T3, one Life Force free. Mix and match. That's the new BOGO sale. If you haven't taken Life Force, you're insane. Even if you take the COVID shots, you've got all this spike protein sloughing, they admit. This stuff detoxifies. It's so important. Ultimate Life Force and T3. Buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'd say make the commitment, but it's no commitment. One click, $30 a month, cancel any time instantly. When you become a VIP, you get $40 each month. When you get charged the 30, you get 40 instantly to spend, plus special deals, special offers, special sales. Everybody should be a VIP. Cancel any time for free with one click in your profile at thealexjonesstore.com. So become a VIP, please. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. You're the Paul Revere's. Remember that. Don't forget that. You are everything. Share the live feeds right now. Mermis takes over. Alex Jones on X.
And here we are. It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am your host, Jason Mermis. I wasn't going to lead with this, but because Alex mentioned the Israeli section of Fabled Enemies, a film that will be 18 years old on this anniversary of 9/11. We released it on that anniversary in 2008, has a large subsection on the Israeli operatives that clearly had foreknowledge of the events and were detained after the fact. Now, that film had some of the most cutting-edge information that still holds up to this day. But after that, even more information, even though it is in small snippets, and we far from have all of the known collected evidence on what many people refer to as the dancing Israelis and beyond. We got into things such as the fact that these people seem to be filming the event and celebrating. The fact that when they were pulled over, there was a cursory search with dogs, and it came in hot for explosives. That they were detained for months, failed lie detector tests. But here's the big kicker about all of it, okay? Years later, through Freedom of Information Act requests, some of the quote-unquote photographs were released to the public. Now, why do I put it into air quotes? Because they dared not show you the photographs themselves, which clearly the FBI had developed. Now, one of the things, again, that was not available to me at the time, and through the Drug Enforcement Agency, of all places, this DEA investigation into this massive Israeli operation, we find out it wasn't one camera. It was several cameras that were on more than one individual. However, the eyewitness, and by the way, there was more than one eyewitness. We had at least three eyewitnesses on the record saying that they were out there filming these attacks and celebrating. They never found the video camera, supposedly. Now, from what I've read and seen, I tend to believe that. But at the same time, there are questions surrounding it. What are those questions? Now, first and foremost, as I said, they dare not show you the photographs. Anybody can go look them up right now. What did we get? We got these not even scans, not even black and white scans. Instead, they went to copy machines, and they blew these images out so you could see little to no detail. Then on top of that, they actually boxed out the faces so that you could see none of the reactions of these individuals. Now, one of the more alarming things is that in one of the photographs, two of these individuals that are on this rooftop, they have a lighter. And that lighter is up in the air, and in the backdrop would be the Twin Towers. Now, here's the big question. On that photograph, it's dated 9/10/2001, not 9/11/2001. Now, some people will say, well, Jason, that could have easily been a mistake on the date and the recording, the digital. Sure could have been. But there is also another possibility. You see, they never found that lighter either in this search. And let me tell you, they found plenty in the search of that van. Do you know they found fake student identifications in the van? A lot of people talk about the quote-unquote art students that were involved. And yes, that is part of this. A lot of people forget that there were also mall kiosks with Israeli operatives. And a lot of these art students, by the way, they would use females to go into facilities, both known and unknown government facilities and beyond, to case these things out with a pretty young lady trying to sell art. You know, most people think that this whole operation was males. No. The Israelis like the honeypots as well. Now, getting back to this possible photograph of a lighter being up in the air, when you look at this photo, okay, it's all whited out. So you don't know whether this was taken the day before the attacks or on the morning of the attacks, before or after the planes have hit. Now, I have my own theories there, but what we do know is that once again, we have eyewitness testimony that at least one of these Israelis was in fact on or in that building where they would be on the rooftop the day before via urban moving systems and allegedly moving a couple out of that building. So they're there the morning of 9/11. At least one of them is there the day before 9/11. They never find the video camera. We don't get the photographs. Instead, we get, you know, horrible facsimiles, maybe, of what's happening. And did any of these people get charged despite the fact they had fake identifications, despite the fact that they failed lie detector tests? Nope. They got to leave the country. In fact, we don't even know how many individuals were in this ring, because numerous Israeli operatives have already been picked up prior to 9/11 in a large sting. And then after 9/11, more of these individuals were picked up. No criminal charges against any of them. And good luck getting any of the firsthand documentation. It is few and far between. Again, these people were interrogated again and again and again, questioned again and again and again. Where are those transcripts? They're nowhere to be found. And right now, I am really in the middle of almost a renaissance of 9/11 information that was not publicly available when I was making my films, Loose Change, Final Cut, and Fabled Enemies. For instance, you know, aside from the Israeli operation, and I think that this is really important to explain, you know, because Alex, rightfully so, you know, never delves into one group as the quote-unquote only protagonist. I'll give you a great example outside of 9/11, which to me, all the indications are international intelligence operation with role players via Saudi Arabia on the funding end, on the embassy end to get them into the country, Pakistan on the intelligence and also funding end, the Israeli operatives for some of the logistics, surveillance, and beyond. And then, of course, the United States and the war games that were going on this morning. Boy, have I been diving into those war games. In fact, I've often talked about the exercises that were taking place that day of hijacked aircraft, aircraft that simulated having bombs on board and beyond and was on radar screens, blips. Well, there were other exercise inputs. You know, I had reported on this drill from the National Reconnaissance Office on the morning of 9/11 run by John Fulton of the CIA. Now, there was very little known about this drill. And there were some reports that it was a plane hitting a building. Well, we have that document. And that document now shows that this plane was at like an NRO facility as part of the drill. Of course, they didn't use any real planes. It didn't ram directly into the building. It was a crash next to them. But the really interesting thing to me is that they had scripted phone calls as exercise inputs. Did you hear what I just said? There were scripted phone calls via drills on 9/11 that were exercise inputs. And by the way, we know those exercises, which, you know, AI, Google searches, the mainstream will lie to you. They will tell you that these drills stopped either immediately after the first attack or after the second attack. Absolute fiction. Absolute fiction. We have the NORAD / NEADS tapes, at least some of them. We've now had them for, geez, probably close to two decades. And the mainstream and much of the alternative has just ignored the fact that on two separate recorded occasions, you can clearly hear that the exercises went on well beyond Flight 93 being downed in that field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, if you believe that's what happened. Okay, so these drills went on throughout the attacks. Now, another film I made to kind of hammer home this idea of different intelligence agencies, different nation states, different entities, if you will, working in conjunction on these type of black operations would, of course, be Iran-Contra. Now, I have a subsection in Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, which was put out by InfoWars all the way back in 2010, showing you that it was Israel that would buy the weapons, okay, from Eastern European nations. So plausible deniability on the United States fronts. They would then ship them into Bolivia, then into South America, okay, into the Sandinistas. And then it was after that was distributed that the United States black ops would then smuggle drugs and other contraband up into the U.S., make their money, and then pay that off after the fact. Okay? See how that works? And a lot of those contraband that were being smuggled into the United States. Yeah, it was Florida, and it was a little place known as Mena, Arkansas, while Bill Clinton was governor. Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that Bill Clinton loved the nose candy? I mean, how soon people forget that even when that guy was running for president, Jennifer Flowers, who was clearly one of his mistresses, was talking about them riding around in limousines and doing blow all over the place. His brother, Roger, was literally picked up in a cocaine sting saying that he had to get some for his brother. He's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner. You want compromised politicians, folks? We've had them at the very apex of our geopolitical structure now for decade upon decade upon decade. Now, I could go on much further into 9/11, into these connections, into these Israelis themselves, but I wanted to get into the latest via the Epstein files. Because again, I'm not seeing it in a lot of mainstream outlets, barely reported on this week. Although I think that there's certainly things to question about this file. First and foremost, why wasn't this file part of the 3.5 million file dump, right? I mean, let's talk about that. Although we have 3.5 million pages of documents, and we do have a very small, minuscule amount of video that's heavily censored, etc. Why would we not get the supposed suicide note from Epstein until a little over a week ago? Doesn't make much sense. Now, I want to show everybody the supposed Epstein suicide note. There it is. All right, and I'm gonna read it for you the best I can. All right, it says, "They investigated me for months. Found nothing." I mean, again, and I don't know whether or not this chicken scratch is going to match his handwriting or whatever, but this is supposedly it, okay? "They found nothing and mentioned years-old charges. It is a treat to be able to choose one's time to say goodbye. What you want me to do? Bust out crying? No fun. Not worth it." So that's it. And explain to me again, you know, obviously this would be part of the file dump. Why is it now? You know, Jones, you know, ended the broadcast with these attacks on Massey. It's actually something I covered on a previous radio show earlier today. You know, you look at Massey and the best they had on this guy, supposedly this woman that he dated, you know, after his wife died 2 to 3 years ago suddenly. Okay, guy's allowed to do that. Nothing there. The headlines made it sound like, you know, he paid her some kind of hush money or that she was some kind of mistress. Nope, nothing like that. Even when you dig into the article, it says that this woman was working in another office for another Republican that was an associate of Massey, that had filed some kind of civil suit against him. And prior to that, it's alleged that Massey may have offered her $5,000 not to file against the guy. I mean, even if that's true, if that's the highest level of corruption you have on Thomas Massey, it's laughable. It's laughable. This is the guy that has stood up against not only those that would want the Epstein files sealed forever, but against big pharma, big tech, right? The surveillance state, the national security state. This is the guy. It's the only guy. And it blows my mind that the establishment thinks that these are the things that are going to take them out. You know, I saw that Polymarket thing, big whoop. I predict Massey dominates his primary, rightfully so. They better be worried. You know, this guy is talking about possibly becoming governor of Kentucky, and in my mind, he would be one of the only true and real candidates for the president of the United States. Now, speaking to decent politicians, and they, again, few and far between, I want to talk about this scandal with Tulsi Gabbard, et cetera, that was kind of ignited by Representative Luna there, okay? So if you missed it, it was on the Jesse Waters program. Again, not a huge fan of Waters. While Waters had John Kerouac on, and I am a fan of Kerouac, I got to sit down with him on this last 9/11 anniversary in Washington, D.C., and we just had an amazing conversation that was cut short. In fact, speaking to 9/11, we got pretty deep into the weeds, not only in the possible Pakistani involvement, but the beheading of Daniel Pearl. You know, we might be breaking it here, but the morning of which Daniel Pearl would eventually be beheaded, he met with John Kerouac, who, you know, I'm not sure if he was the station chief, but he was very high up in the Central Intelligence Agency in the Middle East at that point. Okay. Now, Luna comes out hot and says that Gabbard's office was raided by the Central Intelligence Agency, okay, and that they grabbed files on MKUltra and the John F. Kennedy assassination. So there's just so much to unpack there, right? First and foremost, Waters has taken down the clip. Kerouac rightfully acknowledges that the Central Intelligence Agency should be able to do no such thing, but then goes into the story of MKUltra, quote-unquote, disclosure. Remember, it was the House Assassination Committee that really started to peel back the layers on this stuff. And to this day, even in that segment, Jesse Waters continually, guys, LSD is just like one of many, many different types of drugs that they were utilizing in trying to do a multitude of things, not just create some kind of mind-controlled assassin that would carry out operations and then have no memory of it after the fact. Again, a small minutia portion of that. So Kerouac rightfully brings up that the Central Intelligence Agency was ordered to release all of these files. What did they do? They burned them. At least allegedly, they burned them. I would imagine if you did have documentation that would continue to be useful on any level, you may say that you destroyed it, but you probably would move them to internalized black site that is not digitized. And if, in fact, it is digitized, it would not be accessible, obviously, through the internet or by the vast majority within those government agencies. That's a big if. A lot of people forget that not only did the CIA destroy a bunch of these MKUltra files, they were found in contempt, and the vast majority of the MKUltra files that we have, it wasn't like the CIA just handed them over. No, they were economic records, billings, that were found by somebody else who then published them. Yeah, they weren't supposed to be left in that arena. So we have a fraction of those documents. Now, the really interesting thing here is, and Luna points this out, these documents that Gabbard was supposedly looking at shouldn't even exist, right? Why are we? I thought we had all the available MKUltra documents. And this just goes to the culture of lying and lying and lying and lying and lying again on almost anything of significant value when it comes to government corruption, secrecy, and black operations. Okay? So even today, this article literally, I think, is put out in the last hour by Newsweek. And again, not endorsing Newsweek here. But the key questions after DNI denies CIA raid claim. So, again, Gabbard, through spokespeople, has said that this raid did not occur, but then it's not clear if, in fact, they did come in and take documents, but not in a raid style. Now, the other thing is, what were the other documents? That John F. Kennedy documents. Oh, wait, I thought most transparent
administration in history. I thought we had all the JFK, RFK, and MLK documents now. That's a farce. Okay? That is a farce. There are plenty of documents on all three and beyond that you and I, Joe Q Public, have never seen, and we may never see. That should show you where we truly are as a nation, right? I want to say that we're a constitutional republic with checks and balances, but clearly now, for decade upon decade, and really accelerating in the post-World War II era, we have an executive within an executive that seems to go beyond any traditional means of accountability. And any time that that accountability is brought into the forefront, there seems to be distractions, misinformation, and things that are purposely put out there for the public to chew on and discuss, much of it right now in this UFO and disclosure arena, which we're going to get into on the flip side of this break, to wildly speculate about and then exude massive amounts of misinformation and disinformation into the public arena. And that's why when we get back, I'm going to be discussing this image in particular right here that comes from the late 90s, I believe 1997, Roswell Redux report, if you guys forgot that. Remember, they were telling you it was aliens the whole time, and then in that Redux report, it was weather balloons and dummies. I got news for you guys. You don't put dummies in body bags. It doesn't look like you'd put extraterrestrial biological entities in those bags. Either we're going to take a break, support the broadcast, ajnlive.com, ajnlive.com. We'll be back after this. We are back now with the Alex Jones Show. I am your host, Jason Vermes, and please don't forget to support the broadcast. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get the supplements. Get the merchandise. Support free speech. Because I got to tell you, once again, it is extremely difficult to get beyond the mainstream narrative management that is also bled into this quote-unquote pseudo-alternative arena. You know, so many people consider somebody like a Ben Shapiro as alternative media. Folks, not even close. You want the real thing. It has always been Alex Jones. Now let's get in to this picture that has now been disclosed as part of, you know, this first little trickle down. Now, this re-release, if you will, they're telling you in the subsection right here, is from the 1997 Roswell report from the Air Force. Now, that report was 50 years after the incident shortly after World War II. Now, I remember watching parts of those press conferences, even in a pre-internet era. You know, people have to realize that even though the internet came in the late 90s and was available somewhat in the early 2000s, you know, I was pretty happy in my college dorm that we had access to the internet. Guys, sometimes it would take 2 minutes to download a JPEG. Right. So this stuff wasn't all out there. It was a joke. It was a bad joke. I don't think that anybody believed it. Right. At all. And now we've had to wait close to another 30 years to see this. Well, what would it do? Now, let's just ask ourselves a question. Do you believe that they don't have other pictures of whatever is in the bag? Of course they do. Of course. Did they release that? Shouldn't it have been released at least in 1997, you know, after 50 years? Not to the powers that shouldn't be, not to the predator class. Why? Because it serves propaganda and narrative management purposes, especially to those that so desperately want to believe that not only we are not alone, but somehow there's like this benevolent alien force out there neither of which do I think is true. Now, I want to put people onto this book right here. The View from Foreplay, an introduction to the untapped world of the fourth dimensional technologies. Now, what's really interesting here is, I'm not sure if this is the last book by Anthony Sutton, but it may very well be. Anthony Sutton was somebody who was really, you want to talk about OG Mac Daddy alternative media talking about the true power structures telling you about secret societies such as Skull and Bones? It was Anthony Sutton. Anthony Sutton was so ahead of the curve, right? You look at the type of technologies that were clearly being developed by the Nazis in particular in World War II, and you're talking about different propulsion systems, different weapon systems, and those programs were ultimately integrated not only into the United States, but also Russia. Okay, again, we have this, you know, like weird thing in this country where we don't even acknowledge that Russia is really not if the driving force, one of the driving, it wasn't just the United States that won World War II. No, Russia, big part of that. And Russia had their own program to pick up Nazi scientists. In fact, if you dig just this far into history, and you read a book called Amy Jacobson called Area 51, that, again, a lot of people would love to believe it's all going to be about aliens, you'll find out about the Horton brothers and the Flying Wing. And the Horton brothers, although we know about the Flying Wing, and you can go and you can see this wooden wing that looks a lot like our stealth technology, okay, flying around during that World War II era. Now, according to history, the Russians got them first. And the Russians seem to be interested in some of their other engineering work, possibly with what is known as the quote-unquote Nazi Bell. Well, we got them after the fact as well. All right? I believe it was called Operation Harass. They found those guys. They brought them in. And we know very, very little about what they did for the United States. What we do know is that, like, top Nazi Wernher von Braun essentially headed up our NASA program, our public space program, and that Operation Paperclip brought a multitude of these Nazi scientists not only into the NASA program, but our intelligence and black ops ranks as well. And this is important because I believe that we have militarized space on a level that most people cannot comprehend. Is it perfect? Far from it. Does it make mistakes? Sure. Is it exclusive to the United States? Absolutely not. Again, we mentioned Russia. And, you know, I believe that this is one of the reasons that Russia, like us, has been able to maintain their general geopolitical dominance via the weaponization of space. I also believe this is why the ISS is essentially shared between these two entities, right? Obviously, we have some type of treaties or agreements when we get into this tech. And look, Anthony Sutton was talking about all sorts of anti-gravity tech. He was writing about cold fusion, again, something that is rarely discussed in this country. And when it is, it's discussed in a, you know, the realm of fantasy and science fiction. How much of that science fiction has just been suppressed technology on behalf of our intelligence apparatuses working for a predator class to suppress those physics, right? You had Andreessen come out when he was in those meetings about artificial intelligence that is currently being truncated in a vertical fashion to these very same individuals and entities from that same period of time so that we don't have access. That's extremely frightening. You know, he said, oh, yeah, no, they were telling us we can't invest in it. you know, if we do, it's going to be a waste of our time because we're going to just select, you know, the handful of corporations that are going to be working with the government on this. It'll be just like the Cold War, where we classified certain parts of physics. The fact that that wasn't headlines on every single major media station, and that every single reporter, when they were at a White House briefing with the press secretary or had a chance at Donnie T, didn't ask that question, shows you how controlled the media is. So it shows you what a joke the media is. They're classifying parts of physics. Oh, that's good news. And now with artificial intelligence, okay, you already have a system in place where they have CAIOs, chief artificial intelligence officers, embedded in all of these companies. And that is to make sure the flow of both software and hardware breakthroughs goes through that government apparatus. You have to have a certain security clearance. All right. It's not a private corporation because it can always be audited by the government. And the only people or entities that are not auditable by the government are the government themselves. Things like the National Security Agency, the Central Intelligence Agency, things like NASA working with Google in their own centers on artificial intelligence and quantum computing. And right now, you know, the AI that they're rolling out to the public is essentially just a total and complete information and surveillance grab. You know, most people are not aware of this right now, but if you've got a Gmail, if you've got a Yahoo, if you're on any of those big emails, you've probably opted in to the AI. Remember that the AI wants to give you a summary of your emails. Well, what does that mean? That means it's now documenting all of it and it's feeding it into some type of a large language model, bare minimum. Now, I'm not telling you that you weren't already tracked, traced, databased, surveillanced into the ground, but now it's becoming an open thing where all of your communications are on the table 24/7, 365, through the magic box and beyond. You know, I often talk about ACR, or automated content recognition. Now, basically, that is a terminology to surpass your Fourth Amendment, your ability to be secure in your persons and property. Because they'll say, well, we're not recording you. We're taking auditory cues and we're running it through this, but nothing's actually recorded in real time. Oh, we're not taking pictures of you, but we are taking screenshots periodically of what's going on your desktop via Copilot or what's going on your phone and uploading that. We are monitoring how much you use that selfie camera and so on and so on and so on. And most people have no idea that that's happening. And right now, the big push is to create these data centers for that control to manage all that information. And while they do it, feed the resources to the data centers. People are fighting back, and I love to hear it. I love to see it. You know, this story, not getting enough play. After $6 billion data center plan, Festus, and that's a town outside of St. Louis, Missouri, voters oust every incumbent council member. So let me tell you how this went down. Town didn't know. They're making backdoor deals, and then they're just passing these things. Okay? It's far from just Missouri. This happened all over the place. Okay? And by the way, most of the time, they're telling you, like, the data center is going to take this much energy, this much water. It's going to be this size. No, 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 and no. They're making them bigger. They're going to take more energy. They're going to pollute more into the air, water, and land. And they're going to absorb a lot of that fresh water. So your electricity bills and your water bills go up. And then you're going to be expected only to take, you know, eventually probably like 4 showers a week, right? Not going to be able to water your lawn. things of that nature. But if you, I mean, if you want to, you're probably paying 3-4 times the price. Kind of like you're tasting that sweet, sweet $6 a gallon gas in some places. $5.92 for me yesterday in Iowa. Yeah, I'm getting the no ethanol stuff, but come on. You got to be kidding me. And this whole thing keeps escalating. Now, I'll say this. If you think that those politicians, those incumbents, were just going to, you know, take it and take it on the chin. No, they tried to fight it. Nope. They definitely said, no, 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 you can't recall us. We're your lords. We're your gods. We will do what we want. Well, again, another great story. Just a couple days ago, the judge has ruled to allow the recall effort targeting the entire board over that data center. Okay? That's what needs to happen. You got to act locally, think globally. You got to get involved with your local city council. You got to know your sheriff. You got to be on the school board. You got to make yourself known, because these are the last throes of humanity if we do not fight back. Transhumanism is the ultimate goal with this technology. You think they care about human beings? No, 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 no. They want to eliminate the human species, not just transmutate it, not just build upon it with these technologies, but at the end of the day, when you read these people's writings, it truly is a post-truth world. And right on that bandwagon for some time now has been our neighbor to the north, Canada. And, you know, throughout my lifetime and still to this day, Canada has constantly been downplayed and underplayed via its significance for tyranny, for oppression, for control. We got a big, big view of that control during the COVID 1984 nightmare, where you literally had internment camps there, okay, where you literally cut off people's bank accounts, where you jailed pastors. We got a little glimpsey-glimpse, right? But I've often talked about the quote-unquote state-sponsored assisted suicide. Now, I think we covered on this broadcast just a few weeks ago, this 80-something-year-old grandmother that went into the doctors. She had back pain. Want to do something about the back pain? Maybe you should just kill yourself. Maybe you should just kill yourself. She was shocked. She was absolutely shocked. But you see, exponentially, they have increased the amount of these quote-unquote assisted suicides. In fact, right now, you got this Holly weirdo actress, and this should really speak to that culture, really disgusting culture. I don't know why you want to be a part of it, of, you know, fame, narcissism, at the end of the day, depression, because you're just not satisfied, because you can never be famous enough, you can never have enough, right? This person wants, and I believe she's either late 40s, early 50s, she wants state-sponsored suicide. Boy, she's getting a lot of press. Boy, is she getting a lot of press. Well, it doesn't end there, okay? You've got this academic out of the Quebec College of Physicians, Louis Roy, I believe it is. Yes, Louis Roy. He's saying, you know what? We should probably just euthanize disabled babies under the assisted suicide laws. How about that? Let's just euthanize the babies. And look, it's not like there haven't been efforts in the United States with these quote-unquote late-term abortions, where they're talking about abortions up until the point of birth or even beyond, right? I believe it was the Virginia governor at the time was talking about making sure the baby's comfortable. You know, it starts with disabled babies, disabled, right? Starts with that, and then it moves into the arena of, well, the parents can't take care of it, right? All of it is disturbing and disgusting, and it shows you where we're headed. I had a couple other big stories out there that I'm not seeing in the national media. Now, this one, I don't know what to make of it. I do know that because we didn't hear a ton about it, that it seems outside of the mainstream narrative push. And why do I say that? Well, allegedly, a IED consisting of grenades or grenade-like device was found in Alabama at the base of a dam holding the city's entire drinking water. So you had these divers that were down there, and they saw this thing. They called the FBI. The bomb squad comes in, and they retrieved and safely detonated on land away from the dam near the city of Mobile. I haven't heard any charges. You would think that if this was something of a false flag nature, number one, it may have gone off. Number two, you would have some kind of a patsy lined up in the way of either, you know, a white supremacist working with Iran or Al-Qaeda or something of that nature. And just whispers, if that. So that is a story that I am certainly keeping my eye on. Now, I want to end in the last five or so minutes on a positive note. You know, I've been talking a lot about narrative management during this hour. And no matter how hard the powers that shouldn't be the predator class try to control that narrative, it is way, way outside of their control in many, many regards. And one of the things that really does show that to be the case is the fact that Colbert is on his last legs. And that we're just a little bit over a week away for his last show on May 21st. Now, this is somebody that literally has been propped up by the mainstream after acting anti-establishment, playing like an anti-establishment parody character for well over a decade on Comedy Central, right? The Colbert Report, really, to me, was a poor man's Daily Show, but then came into its own. And, you know, I had some real respect for Colbert in the very beginning during the W. Bush administration, where he was actually the host of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I believe either in 2005 or 2006. And really was hammering home an anti-war, anti-corruption message with this character he was playing. You know, fast forward a couple decades, and he's dancing with people in hypodermic needle outfits telling you about the vaccine. He lost the plot. He's donezo. You know, no amount of money, no amount of push is going to save this guy. And that's why he's being, you know, he's not being taken off the air because of Donnie T and the gang or government censorship. He's no longer effective. Okay? I want that to be really, really clear. If he was effective in any way, shape, or form at this point, they would still be utilizing him. And they can't. And the same thing will eventually happen to Kimmel, who has gotten way too political. The only survival in this arena is to try to stay as apolitical as possible, in my opinion, because just too many people have had enough of it. And you just can't continually prop up these ideas, these social movements that are ultimately oppressive and manipulative to the general population. At some point, they say is enough is enough. And that's why I believe, you know, this latest hantavirus scare, as much as they've been trying to prop this one up, just people are not buying it. And, you know, who knows what's going to be coming on in the next few weeks, but I know what's not going to be coming on. Stephen Colbert doing hantavirus sketches into June because his show's not on anymore. I shouldn't bask in other people's detriments, but you can't help it, especially when you see how much harm that guy really did cause, especially during the COVID-1984 nightmare. Folks, that being said, I've made some documentary films. Again, we led discussing about the Israeli operatives and their role in 9/11. We document that in Fabled Enemies. If you've not seen Fabled Enemies and Loose Change Final Cut, you can do so for free across the board on all of my platforms. Somehow, some way, we have survived YouTube, despite the fact that they took my channel five separate times during the COVID nightmare. We are also over at Rumble at The Info Warrior, rumble.com/The Info Warrior. You can see those two films as well as my bigger picture films, Shade the Motion Picture, and of course, Invisible Empire, A New World Order to Find, produced right here. You can also check out my trailer for the Epstein docuseries coming up on the Epstein Files, the first chapter, the fine young cannibal class working hard on that, really getting my legs back after all these years in these docuseries. And ultimately, it is up to you guys to find this material, watch this material, and then share it with others. That's why it is free. That's why the Alex Jones films are free and evergreen to this day. Whether it's 9/11, martial law, or The Road to Tyranny, big time films right there. Alex Jones's films are some of the biggest and baddest, so please support him over at the alexjonesstore.com. And remember, folks, to this guy, it is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I absolutely love you guys, and we will see you all on the flip side.